Mayfield is reporting 66. Stay tuned for Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
In 1805, Lewis and Clark described in their journals a country teeming with wildlife.
Bison as far as the eye can see.
Rivers churning with fish.
They wrote of scenes of endless beauty and of meeting more than 100 nations of American Indian whose lives were one with our environment. Now, imagine what Lewis and Clark and the American Indians they met would say if they walked the trail today. Would they be pleased?
There are herds of homes where the buffalo once roamed.
Or would they feel differently?
Something must be done to save what's left of this great place.
As we commemorate the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, we encourage you to consider what's been lost and what we can do to preserve what's left of the trail that still winds through us all. Walk with Lewis and Clark and see what you discover at www.lewisandclark200.org.
This is a public service message of the National Council of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, the Missouri Historical Society, and the Ad Council.
New state-of-the-art technology has made it possible to offer copies of programs heard on WGNU to the listening audience at a lower cost. If there is a specific program you are interested in having for your personal library, we can now make it available to you at a cost of $25 per hour. Please make a check or money order payable to WGNU Radio, 265 Union, St. Louis, 63108. Please specify the time, day, and particular topic, and allow 10 days delivery. All program recordings are subject to availability.
I am a child.
I am an adult.
I am 10 years old.
I am 38 next week.
I'm in the fourth grade.
I sell financial planning services.
I found out that trees breathe too.
I make PowerPoint presentations.
I play football every day at 3:30 after school.
I also have this incredible young friend.
I love my mom and my dad. And tomorrow, I get to see Rick. He's my friend too.
I am a mentor to a young man named Marquis.
Volunteer to help a young child do better in school. Mentor St. Louis, the largest volunteer organization in the St. Louis Public Schools, needs volunteer mentors. Go to mentorstlouis.org or call 314-531-2570 and let something wonderful happen.
Rick and me are going to the zoo tomorrow.
Marquis always wants to see the monkeys.
They're not monkeys. They're apes. Monkeys have tails.
I did that.
You need to lay off the custard, right?
Oh, yeah? Well, you need to cut down on your meal sizes,
Fatso. I'm not fat, I'm big
bone. Radio Free St. Louis invites you to call us at 314-454-0400 or toll free at 1-877-920-WGNU. And, while we are always glad to hear your opinions, we remind you that personal attacks and insults are not permitted. After all, you can disagree without being disagreeable. A friendly reminder from Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
Hey, who cut your hair? Stevie Wonder?
At least mine doesn't look like it's cut with a weed whacker.
As if we care.
This is the sound of an AK-47 being fired at you. This is the sound of a rocket-propelled grenade headed your way. This is the sound of a bullet ricocheting off your helmet. This is the sound of an anti-personnel landmine exploding underneath you. This is the sound of a car bomb exploding less than a block away. And this...
These people don't fly. George W. Bush would be
killed. That's the sound of people who have never heard these sounds arguing about something they know absolutely nothing about. Maybe we should start listening to the people who were there. Go to optruth.org to find out how you can really help support our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. Operation Truth. We were there.
Stuart, how are those hedges coming, little man?
Dad!
Sorry, you're not little. You're 5. Man, you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get him, killer! Ah, that's the battle cry of the lawn warrior. Now, steady the blade! Where are those hedges?
Dad, please!
Think of the trimmer as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from...
The cat!
The cat! Oh, and the neighbor's new car!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult. So why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Dad, make it stop!
Come back here. You can do the neighbor shrubs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
I don't think like you. I don't laugh at the same jokes as you. I don't speak like you. I don't eat the food you do. I don't celebrate the same holidays as you. But I will help save your life.
Your support could save a life today. Please call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit us at redcross.org to find out how. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can this happen? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can this happen?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I remember saying that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Oh, good morning. Welcome to the Wake Up Call. Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up. Get up. Get to me. Lord. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. And if you want a toll-free, long-distance me, you can do that. You can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Whew. Now, I've said one of my phrases, some of the stuff that I do. I say things. Okay, I talk about things. It's amazing. This is an amazing world that we live in. Let me do some stuff here. Let me try to tie some of this stuff together. I assess. It seems like almost on a daily basis. Almost on a daily basis, the Democrats aren't doing what the Democrats need to be doing. The Democrats are not doing what the Democrats need to be doing. You know. Let's start a campaign, y'all. Let's start a campaign where we send the Democrats in the United States Senate, the Democrats in the United States Congress. Let's all send them a box of Wheaties, okay? Let's just get them some Wheaties. Because the fact of the matter is that they are caving now. Some of the caving is been artfully characterized as strategic. No, if you say that you're going to go get the bully who hits you in the nose next week, and you don't, that's not strategic. Let me share with you that the cause for my assessment of the sound in the forest that you're hearing of caves crashing in, caving. The FBI would get extended powers to subpoena records without the approval of a judge or a grand jury under the Patriot Act revisions improved Tuesday by the Senate Intelligence Committee. Ranking Democrat Jay Rockefeller. Let me say that again. Ranking Democrat. Let me say that again. Ranking Democrat Jay Rockefeller said, I support the bill. I would push for limits that would allow administrative subpoenas, quote, only if immediacy dictates. What? See how they strategically try to assess their cave mentality? We agreed to filibusters only when it's really, really, really necessary. Huh? It's always necessary when somebody crazy comes down the pike. We're going to give an administration that is showcasing Abu Ghraib atrocities, that believes that they can take anybody from around the world and put them in Guantanamo Bay and no laws apply, and they promote the guy who advocated the no laws apply rule, Alberto Gonzalez, to Attorney General. We're going to give them the authority to determine only if immediacy dictates? That's every day. Every hour of every day. Every minute of every hour, every second of every minute, every millisecond of every second. Dianne Feinstein says that she's concerned. 11-4. 11-4. Overall, Jay Rockefeller said, the committee gave a nod to most of the Patriot Act in the first few years. And we have passed out of committee expanded powers to subpoena records. Expanded powers to subpoena records. We need to send them children some Wheaties. We need to send them children some Wheaties. Because this stuff ain't right. And let me help you. Help me. Because while we are not being protected by the Democrats on the, I don't even want to say on the left, the Democrats in the middle, you know how that, you have the kids in the middle program, this is the Democrats in the middle. Let's talk about those that are supposed to be protecting our rights, period. The Justice Department. Under George W. Bush. The Justice Department under George W. Bush has decided that most health care employees can't be prosecuted for stealing personal data under privacy law intended to protect medical information. Let me say that again. Let me say that again a little slower so it can sink in, so it remains forever sunk. Let me say it again. The Justice Department has decided that most health care employees cannot be prosecuted for stealing your personal data. The health care industry has long sought to limit the effect of the rules, and they got it. They got it. And who made this decision? The Justice Department. The ruling could jeopardize the one pitiful little conviction obtained under the medical privacy rule that took place in 2003 and could stop prosecutors from pursuing some of the more 13,000 complaints that have been filed alleging violations of those rules. So I just want you to understand the world that you live in at this time that you are living and breathing. Caps on medical, okay? HMOs that send you to give you the worst kind of medical care. Doctors that leave sponges in you, cut off the wrong leg, cut off the wrong arm, don't diagnose your baby, don't diagnose you, do you wrong. The medical industry, through your legislators, have twisted the conversation into scaring you about your medical costs, your health insurance cost. And all the while you're focused over where they want you to be focused. Oh, my insurance prices are so high. These horrible lawyers are making all this money. No, baby. No, baby. The medical industry is making all the money. And they ain't about to lower your rates for jack. And they are constantly whittling away at any kind of protections that you as a citizen are entitled to in this country that many of you call the greatest country on earth. Why in the so-called greatest country on earth can't you sue a doctor and a hospital for every single penny that they have if they cut off the wrong leg? Why can't you do that? What country in the world would say we got to protect a doctor and a hospital system that hired him or her? We have to protect them above the poor schmuck out here who will never make as much money as a doctor does. They leave a sponge in you, you get staff. Let me give you an example. Buzz Westfall's family showed enough Sue in the hospital that he got the staph that infected him with the staph infection. Is that a frivolous lawsuit? I dare you to say it. Y'all being schnookered. Schnookered. And when they finish schnookering you, they're going to begin hammering you. A lot of work to be done, y'all. A lot of work to be done. We're going to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. This be the wake-up call. Oh, we ain't done here. We ain't done here. Stay with me. But she doesn't hear a word that he said.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a little bit of this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Eastbound 44 at Vanaventer, there's an accident that's been cleared, but there may be a bit of a delay. Eastbound 64 at St. Clair Avenue, look for an accident. The left lane is blocked. There's a brief slowdown. Northbound 55 between Merrimack River and Merrimack Bottom and Germania. Look for normal traffic this hour. Eastbound 44 between Chrysler and Guyer. No problems to report. Eastbound 40 from Clarkson to Clayton Warson. Look for everything to be on the move. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to 170. No problems to report there either. Westbound 255 from Telegraph to 55. Everything is on the move at this hour. Northbound 270 at 44, everything's running smoothly. Eastbound 70 between 79 and Mid Rivers Mall, heavy volume this hour, and your bridge approaches stack up like this. Westbound 5570 at the bridge, look for no problems to report. Westbound 64 at 5570 merge, everything's on the move. And westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way into Cleeds Landing, look for normal traffic this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, even Toyotas need periodic attention, and when it's time, make sure you bring your car to your local Toyota dealer, offering factory-trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. That's Toyota confidence. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Partly sunny skies today, scattered showers and thunderstorms, a high in the mid-90s. This evening, partly cloudy in the evening, becoming mostly cloudy overnight, a 40% chance of showers with a low around 70. Moving on to Friday, partly sunny again, a 40% chance of showers, high around 90. Friday evening, partly cloudy with a 30% chance of showers and a low around 70. And then on Saturday, look for pretty much the same, partly sunny, a 40% chance of showers and a high around 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 70 degrees under cloudy conditions. Lambert Field is reporting 68 degrees and clouds as well. Stay tuned for more of the wake-up call with Liz Brown. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, your traffic, and your weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Why listen to Brand X Radio when you can listen to something brand new? Join the conversation by calling 314-454-0400 or toll-free from outside the local calling area at 1-877-920-WGNU. For those of you who may be alphabetically challenged, that's 1-877-920-9468. Stop rushing around the radio dial. Leave it here and call in and talk on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
We all know by now never to drink and drive. We know to buckle up for safety, and we know to protect our children by using proper car seats. But did you know that basic car maintenance is just as important in avoiding serious accidents? Simple steps like changing your oil and brake fluid, keeping your car full of antifreeze and coolant, checking the belts and gaskets, and rotating your tires can keep you and your family and other drivers safer, while keeping your car more fuel efficient, thus protecting the environment. That's why the Car Care Council is urging everyone to take an active interest in routine maintenance. Read your owner's manual, talk to a qualified service technician, and use an online resource. For more information on how to keep your car running safely, visit vehiclemanager.com. Take care of your car. It will save you money, and it will protect you and your family and other drivers. This has been a public service message from the Car Care Council. World War One, World War Two, Korea, Vietnam, Persian Gulf, Grenada, Haiti, Somalia, countries far from home where our men and women have fought and been wounded and died. Visit the Veterans Memorial Museum in Branson, Missouri, where over 2,000 exhibits represent the wars of the 20th century and salute our veterans. The Veterans Memorial Museum, honoring those who served. 417-336-2300.
The abuse started just after we started dating and got worse. I thought I should stay to keep our family together. But the situation at home has affected my children and my job. My name is Keisha, and I am a survivor of domestic violence. I now take care of my children and go to work without the fear and stress due to abuse. I reached out for help when I needed it, and you can too. If you or someone you care about needs support at home or in the workplace, please call the Domestic Violence Confidential Hotline at 1-800-799-SAFE. That's 1-800-799-7233. That call changed my life.
If you are a victim of domestic violence, there is help available, and it's just a phone call away. The Domestic Violence Confidential toll-free hotline number again is 1-800-799-SAFE. This message brought to you by the State of Illinois and this station. You've heard it since the day you were born.
Someday you'll go to college.
And as you grew, you began to believe what you heard.
You could be anything you want to be.
Until it became something you couldn't ignore.
I can be a teacher.
I can run my own company.
I can change my career.
Now there's a place that can help you reach your dream. College Zone. CollegeZone.com, powered by the Illinois Student Assistance Commission, is the trusted source for college information. You can go to college. Visit CollegeZone.com.
You want to know what you're going to get in me? Just a little touch of star quality. And if that's the right, go too far. It's because of the things you are. Beautiful town, I love you. And if I'm still so impressed, if your love
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax, and my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Oh, we have much to talk about. And I was talking about your good old... Yeah, I said that is yo's, not mine. Yo, good old Justice Department. Saying, you know what, folks can, employees can't be prosecuted for stealing your personal data. No, we ain't going to let that happen. And thereby jeopardizing 13,000 complaints that have been filed. All you poor citizens out there that have stories to tell about people stealing your personal data from hospitals. Don't worry, your good government says they can steal until they get tired. But not to worry. Because maybe the Justice Department is just soft on the hospital industry. The medical industry. Maybe they're just soft. Maybe this is their way of saying, you know, really, we're really trying to protect you out here. We want the hospitals to have as many safeties and safeguards that they will be able to protect you the way that you need to be protected. So Maybe that's just, maybe they just have a bias to protect your health. Maybe that's what it is. The Justice Department has a bias. Because surely, when they're prosecuting the tobacco industry, they would go after the tobacco industry tooth and nail because they have your health interest at heart. Right? After 8 months of a courtroom argument, the Justice Department abruptly upset a landmark civil racketeering case against the tobacco industry by asking for less than 8% of the expected penalty. Stephen Brody shocked the tobacco industry representatives and the anti-tobacco activists by announcing that the government would not seek $130 billion that they said that they were going to seek. Instead, nah, just give us 10. We'd be straight. We'll be straight. Just give us 10. Just give us 10. That's all we're going to ask for. I mean, these are federal prosecutors. You know the same tough guys, hard-nosed law enforcement folks that managed to get Martha Stewart, the hardened criminal, into jail. No, there won't be any Martha Stewart lying to us. She's going to jail. But wait a minute. This is the tobacco industry. You said you were going to ask for $130 billion. All you got to do is ask for it. I mean, all the judge could say is, no, you're not going to get it. Instead, I've never heard of anything like this in my life. What you normally find prosecutors doing is going back and negotiating and saying and reaching a deal and then deciding not to finish the case out and take it in front of the judge and let the judge decide. They craft out their deal and then they plead before the judge. And you know why they didn't do it this time? Because they didn't want the world to say, you just carrying the water for the tobacco industry. And then the tobacco industry played nice and put on their shock faces. Oh, this is shocking to us, too. Tee-hee. Yeah, I bet it was. The Justice Department offered little explanation for the figure. Well, why not? If you go from, you're the Justice Department, you're the tough guys that got that hardened criminal Martha Stewart. Y'all can do anything, right? Oh, you hard-nosed when it comes to ladies. But you won't bust a grape. When it comes against some real adversaries, we'll put every woman that knows how to cook behind jail. We'll put every woman that knows how to organize a closet behind bars. We will not rest until the Home Decorators Association is under the jail doing hard time. But with regard to the tobacco industry where people have died, regard to the medical industry that's stealing your personal information, we're going to have to take a pass on that. But home decorators, be wary. Heads up. They're going to get you. If you're carrying a spatula, watch out. If you're carrying a gun, not to worry. Not to worry. Lord, the world we live in, the world we live in, the world we live in. In the next hour, we're going to be talking to a Dr. Heather Boucher. Again, the rich get richer, the greedy get compensated constantly. And the powerless continue to remain under assault. General Motors, 25,000 jobs. Heather Boucher, Dr. Heather Boucher is going to be on the show in the next hour to talk about. It's no longer kids working at minimum wage jobs. She's going to talk about the cycle of middle-aged Americans stuck in minimum wage jobs. These are scary times. These are scary times. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. Get to me. We're taking a break. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up. Get to me.
One praises fools. One's mother's light. One shifts from left to right. Politics, the art of the possible.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Palm Beach. A former contractor for the NASA Kennedy Space Center says Republican Representative Tom Feeney hired him to write a program to control voting machines in the Palm Beach County elections. Clint Curtis says he thought the program was to be used to prevent vote fraud in the 2002 elections in Palm Beach County. But he later found out his program was to be used to keep down the vote totals in all counties that had large Democratic registrations. Curtis said the prototype of the system was to be written in Visual Basic 5 Microsoft Windows and had to be portable across several tabulation systems as well as undetectable to voters and election officials. Curtis says that Feeney showed an interest in such a system in the fall of 1999 and made comments that he could reduce the minority vote and hand the election over to George. He also commented that the black vote could be reduced by 25% with the correct use of police patrols on election day. Curtis' story goes on to involve questionable offshore financial trusts that helped finance the operation, GOP politicians that have close ties to the Bush family, and the space program NASA itself, because Feeney's wife Ellen is a NASA employee at the Kennedy Space Center and has been since 1985. Representative Feeney is a longtime Florida politician who ran as Jeb Bush's lieutenant governor in an unsuccessful bid back in 1994. Former Governor Lawton Chiles has in the past referred to Feeney as the David Duke of Florida politics. This is your wake-up call, global news update.
What's on your mind? It's the talk show about you and your mental health, Wednesday nights at 10 o'clock. What's on your mind? It's your chance to ask questions about relationships, emotions, or mental illness, and get answers from a licensed psychotherapist. What's on your mind? It's the program where you can hear interviews of experts on anything and everything about the mind. That's On Your Mind with Steve Franklin, Wednesday nights at 10 o'clock.
Where can you go in the city to see a wetland, a prairie, and a forest? Forest Park, of course. Join the Missouri Department of Conservation from 8:30 a.m. to 12 noon, Wednesday, June 15th. Explore Forest Park by bicycle and discover the fish, forest, and wildlife that make it their home. Call 314-877-1309 and make your reservation. News to you from WGNU.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip, stop at Sears first, and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
I stand there and listen to my life go by, and at times I wonder why I even try. Well, I try. Like I'm invisible.
Baby, you are.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up, you need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609, that would be the fax. Get up, get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I want to say that the jury is still out on the Michael Jackson trial. And I don't know, it's been some very strange going on in that trial, especially with some of the things that the judge has done. Now, I don't want to know, I'm going to ask you, because maybe you can answer me on this. Usually the judge responds to the jury as far as telling them what they should consider and not consider in their decision-making after the closing statements from the prosecutor and the defense. But in this trial, he gave his instructions to the jurors before the closing statements. Have you ever heard of that before?
I'm not aware that that happened. I'm not aware that that happened, yeah. Normally, jury instructions are given after.
Yes, but in this case, it was done before.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing I've never heard of is when a jury is deliberating, I've never heard of them being allowed to go to, closing down the deliberation so one of the jurors can attend a graduation ceremony.
Well, it's totally up to the judge's discretion, and I think that the bad thing for Michael Jackson in this case is that the jury is not sequestered. The reason why O.J. Simpson was acquitted, aside from the evidence, was partly also because the jury was sequestered and kept away from all of the punditry that was going on outside of the courtroom. I am concerned that the jury is not sequestered even when they deliberate, which is not unheard of, but it is it's not something that leans in the favor of those accused of the crime.
I agree with that, and to underscore that is I heard some excerpts from, it's supposed to be secret information from when Michael had consultations with a sociologist, and a lot of times they tape your conversation, and some of those statements were released, and I heard that several times.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, we know what's going on. I mean, it's clear what's going on. There's an attempt to determine the outcome of a trial outside of the confines of the courtroom. That's exactly what happened in O.J. Simpson's case, and there was the same kind of attempt. But again, that's why judges make the decision to sequester juries to protect them from that, so that they, you know, I don't believe for one second that all of the jurors have not heard any of this, have not heard Jay Leno, that all of the jurors have not heard some of the, I mean, they would have to keep their television set off all of the time. They would have to keep their radio off all the time. They would have to not have any access to any newspapers over this period of time. I don't believe that one or two of them haven't heard something. Thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And don't forget, if you want to toll-free long-distance me, you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. In the next hour, we're going to be talking about the state of the world that we live in. I'm going to have economist Dr. Heather Boucher, an economist with the Center for Economic Research and Development, talking about how, you know what? Not only are jobs hard to find, those folks that have jobs have amazingly different jobs than the generations before them. We're now at what is now occurring in the United States, a phenomena that's occurring in the United States. All of a sudden, middle-aged Americans find themselves stuck in minimum wage jobs. These are dreadful times. I don't know, and I've always hated this word. I've always hated the word downsizing. That's just such a lie. Why don't you call it what it is? Y'all are firing all these people. You're firing them. GM is going to fire 25,000 people. 25,000 people. These are bad times. These are bad times. And when we find middle-aged Americans, American, red, white, and blue, best country in the world. What is a phenomena in the United States, that those that sing the highest praise and are the most adherent to this red, white, and blue, my country, 'tis of thee, are the same folks that bring you America, Love It or Leave It, and the same people that have no tolerance for any other American. I mean, it's such a fascinating contradiction in America. Those that claim love for their country so much are the ones that are the most intolerant. You know, it's just a hugely American phenomena. Just like those that talk about how much they hate sin and what I'm not supposed to be doing as a good Christian. You know who I'm talking about, the Jimmy Swaggerts of the world. They're the ones over there, advocating that the rules of Nevada should be applied to all states. Well, if they're not advocating the law, they certainly are taking advantage of the way the law runs in Nevada. If you know what I mean. What an amazingly Americanistic behavior. My country, Love It or Leave It or I'll shoot you. That's what it turns out to be. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Yes.
General Motors, I had the name of the province here in China. I lost it. They're building a huge plant in China, and they're going to ship the cars back over here.
Mm.
That's why the 25,000 people are gone.
And
it's
because
got nothing to do with the bad economy here. I mean, they made it here for all our history, and they can still do it.
And the legislators are so busy making laws that allow the FBI easy access to us, and they can make the same kind of laws to make it hard for these corporations to go offshore.
The article I'd read was in the Wall Street Journal, and said that I think they're going to start out as a Buick plant. And it's, from what I understand, it's a monster of a plant.
GM, made in China.
It's that cheap labor they're after. Talk to you later.
We're taking a break, folks. I'm Liz Brown. It's the Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
It is time for us to use our power. Power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White. A new development out of Aruba in the case of Natalie Holloway, the teenager from Birmingham, Alabama, who went missing more than a week ago on a senior trip. ABC's Deborah Roberts is there.
After days of little to no progress, this morning there is a potential break in this case. The three young men originally detained and questioned by police have been arrested, and there are reports that their homes are being searched. Now, there's no word yet on what that might mean to this investigation, which, to the frustration of Natalie Holloway's relatives, is moving at a snail's pace.
There will be another island-wide search today. Day five of jury deliberations in the Michael Jackson child molestation case. He went back to the hospital last night. ABC's Alex Stone has more.
This is hospital visit number six in a week for Michael Jackson. ABC News has learned he was treated and released overnight for more back pain. His spiritual advisor, Reverend Jesse Jackson, was there with him.
This is he's going through a kind of a series of therapy treatments for his back.
Also, defense attorney Thomas Mesereau released a statement saying nobody speaks on Jackson's behalf except for his defense team. Jackson's spokeswoman says that statement does not apply to her. Alex Stone, ABC News, Santa Maria, California.
It was a depression. Now it's a tropical storm, and it's called Arlene. It's the first of this Atlantic storm season, and it's west of Cuba. A rare glimpse into a nation President Bush once described as part of an axis of evil. ABC's Bob Woodruff's one of a few Western reporters in North Korea.
We've been starting to get a better idea of how North Koreans view Americans in this country. We made a trip to the north about 2 hours north of Pyongyang and met one 18-year-old boy in a field who said that he's going to now join the army. I asked him if he viewed Americans negatively. He said, yes, they are considered the enemy in this country. And I asked him if he'd ever met an American before. He said, no, that I was the first one.
ABC's Bob Woodruff. This is ABC News.
This Walmart opening has made a difference to a lot of people because this was a community that did need jobs.
When you lose your job, you're lost.
Walmart provided 450 jobs.
I think we really changed some lives when we opened this store.
And I'm glad to see that it happened here in Gastonia.
Now that we've built this place from the ground up, it's much closer to our hearts.
It gives us a real good sense of the future. Walmart will be there.
This is the store we needed as much as it needed us.
Welcome to the UPS store. I can help you at the counter, sir.
Boy, I hate to burst your packing bubble there, but I've got a lot of copying to do and some product samples that need to be packed and shipped for my small business. I cannot be next.
Sir, you can come right up to the counter.
And take a number and wait, right?
I don't know what you're used to, but we do things differently here.
When you're running a small business, time is valuable. Get it done right at one of 3,700 convenient locations. Visit theupsstore.com for the location nearest you. Participation may vary.
Another of the president's long-stalled judicial nominees is set to be confirmed today, Alabama Attorney General William Pryor.
With two of the president's most controversial judgeship choices approved and a third to get a vote today, Judiciary Committee Chairman Arlen Specter appeals for a fresh bipartisan approach in the future.
We really ought to be able to admit the wrongs on both sides, really to have a clean slate to start over.
A bipartisan group of senators last month negotiated a temporary end to judgeship filibusters, but both sides are armed and ready for a Senate war, if necessary, over a controversial Supreme Court choice, if that comes up. Vic Ratner, ABC News at the Capitol.
An ex-stripper is putting on a judicial robe. Diana Hampton's been elected in a runoff to the municipal court bench in Henderson, Nevada. She made no secret of her life as a dancer in Vegas. It put her through school. The six-year judgeship pays $100,000 a year. Liz White, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Panther Ferrand Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, Ameren Electric customers on both sides of the river are hoping to avoid a repeat of last summer's widespread storm-related power outages, some of which lasted several days. To minimize the chances of long outages in the future, Ameren officials say the company has doubled its number of field checkers from about 100 to about 200. Ameren is also trimming the trees in its right-of-way more often to reduce outages related to downed tree limbs. To report outages, downed power lines, or trees endangering power lines, call 1-800-552-7583. For a map showing real-time outage information, visit www.ameren.com. The Senate's confirmation of Judge Janice Rogers Brown to the federal bench is drawing harsh criticism from one Missouri lawmaker. Democratic Congressman William Lacey Clay calls Brown's confirmation an assault on civil rights. Clay says Brown has a history of rejecting crucial civil rights remedies. The Senate confirmed Brown yesterday by a vote of 56-43 as Republicans accused Democrats of distorting the judge's record. Mid-America Airport is in line to receive a $1 million federal entitlement grant because the airport's 10,000th passenger of the year traveled through the airport yesterday. Tim Cantwell, director of the airport, explains how the money will be used.
In the future, we do have plans for more taxiways and more road work and more structures that are authorized. And so we have those gleaned out, and it's just a matter of our oversight committee's decision to prosecute those plans.
The airport previously received the grant in 2001 when Pan Am Airlines flew out of Mid-America. It also received the funding in 2002, 2003, and 2004 after the federal government lowered the passenger requirements following the September 11th terrorist attacks. Finally this hour, the Cardinals nabbed outfielder A.J. Van Slyke in the 23rd round of yesterday's Major League Baseball first-year player draft. He is the son of former Cardinal Andy Van Slyke. A.J. hit .323 for Kansas University this season and led the Jayhawks with 12 home runs and 57 RBI. He will reportedly head to the Cards' Johnson City affiliate and be tried at first base. His younger brother Scott, out of John Burroughs High School, was taken in the 14th round by the Dodgers on Tuesday. This WGNU News report is brought to you by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, even Toyotas, need periodic attention. And when it's time, make sure you bring it to your local Toyota dealer, offering factory-trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. That's Toyota confidence. And that's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Northbound 170 at Page, they've cleared debris on the roadway, but that's been removed. There may be a brief backup there. Westbound 270 at Illinois Route 3, look for a disabled tractor trailer reportedly in the right lane. Northbound 55 between Weber and 44, nothing to report. Eastbound 44 between 141 and Merrimack River Bridge, no problems there. Eastbound 40 at Lindbergh, expect heavy volume this hour. Westbound 270 between Old Halls Ferry and West Florissant, slow traffic in pockets. Slow again then in the right lane at 170. Westbound 255 between Coke and 55, nothing to report. Northbound 270 is busy from 44 all the way to Marshall Road. Eastbound 70 from 79 to Mid Rivers Mall, look for a very heavy volume this hour. Bridge approaches westbound 5570 from 3rd Street to the Poplar Street Bridge is slow. Westbound 64 from 5570 merge, no problems there. And westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois side to Laclede's Landing, everything is flowing freely. Eastbound 64 at St. Clair, look for road construction. Left lane closed there for a short backup. And Chippewa, Jameson, there's a report of arching wires over a trash truck in the alley, so use caution there. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. For a limited time, you can get a prize with your McDonald's fries. More than 3 million Cardinals prizes and offers. So buy some fries and look for a prize. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Partly sunny today, scattered showers. High in the mid-90s this evening, partly cloudy, becoming mostly cloudy overnight. A 40% chance of showers with a low around 70. Moving on to Friday, partly sunny, another chance for showers. A high around 90. Saturday evening, still partly cloudy skies and a chance for showers with a low around 70. And then on Sunday, partly sunny, 40% chance of showers with a high around 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have scattered clouds and 70 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting scattered clouds and 69 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake-Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to toll free, long distance me, we have much, much, much to talk about to get that done. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920. WGNU, any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways, get up, get to me. There is much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I just can't emphasize enough the challenges that we face out here. And the lack of protections that it seems like that every day we lose another protection. I have often said when asked about what is it going to take to get things changed. What is it going to take? And I've said that maybe it's going to take us reaching rock bottom. Maybe that's what it's going to take.
And it seems like almost every day I see some evidence of us hurtling towards the bottom. There is a new report out. No Way Out, How Prime Age Workers Get Trapped in Minimum Wage Jobs. We need to discuss this, and to facilitate that discussion, I have joining me this morning from Washington, D.C., Dr. Heather Boucher, an economist with the Center for Economic and Policy Research. Dr. Boucher, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. It's a pleasure to be on your show this morning.
It's great to have you here. This report, No Way Out, How Prime Age Workers Get Trapped in Minimum Wage Jobs, is this something that is different than what was happening, let's say, 25, 30 years ago?
Well, I think that yes. I mean, it's hard to say. The study that I did not look at 25 or 30 years ago, but we do know from other kinds of research that people were more economically mobile a generation ago. We've seen since the early 1970s an increase in overall economic inequality, and alongside with that, it's become harder for folks at the bottom to move their way up into the middle class and for the middle class to move up itself. So certainly I do think that things are different now, especially for workers who are trapped in low-wage jobs. It's become more of a trap in recent years, as it's harder and harder for folks to move out and move into sort of solid middle class employment.
And Heather, isn't it also a different place that we find ourselves in? Because maybe 20 years ago or 25 years ago, heck, even 15 years ago, the issue of the minimum wage wasn't something that a whole lot of prime age workers even thought about, because there were jobs out there for them to go to that they didn't have to worry about the minimum wage. But now those very same people are finding themselves in the position of saying minimum wage is way too low.
Well, certainly. I mean, I think that we, you know, as the value of the minimum wage has fallen in inflation-adjusted terms over the past few years, you know, minimum wage hasn't been increased since 1997, fewer and fewer workers are actually affected by it because it's so low that it's just that the number of folks who are there is actually gone down a bit. But it is the case that jobs, especially jobs for recent immigrants or jobs for people who don't have a college degree, jobs that pay a living wage for those kinds of folks have become increasingly scarce. We did see some good job growth and strong wage growth during the late 1990s when unemployment was very low, but that really was an aberration, not a part of a long-term trend. So barring those few years in the late 1990s, it has been much more difficult for folks with little education and for recent immigrants to find good-paying jobs, especially jobs with benefits.
So let's talk about the minimum wage. Has the political sea changed towards minimum wage? Because there's a difference between how states deal with it and how the federal government has dealt with it.
Yes. Well, many states have chosen to implement minimum wages in their state that are higher than the federal level,
right,
because they believe that the federal level is just simply too low. And some states have even gone so far as to index the minimum wage to inflation, like Washington State, for example. The federal government has been very reluctant to raise the minimum wage. Right now we're going on, I guess, 9 years since the last time that Congress said that they would raise it, which is historically a very long period of time. I don't know that it's gone this far before since Congress has stepped in to adjust the minimum wage for changes in inflation.
And talk to us about let's talk about the federal minimum wage. We're talking about the federal minimum wage is $5.15 an hour. Is that right?
It is, yes.
And explain how that works for a full-time, full-year worker. Where does that put them in the amount of money that they earn?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. You know, if somebody works full-time, full year, that is, and they put in 40 hours a week, 50 weeks a year, assuming they get 2 weeks off but they don't have paid vacation, which is likely if you're in a minimum wage job, they're going to earn just a little over $10,000 a year, which puts them below the poverty threshold for a one-parent, one-child family. So if that is a single parent, they're going to be about $3,000 below the poverty threshold. So really, these minimum wage jobs are not the kinds of jobs that you can support a family on by any stretch of the imagination.
And what was that, and what was the purpose of the minimum wage? Why was the minimum wage even established?
Yeah, the minimum wage was established back as a back in the 1930s as a part of, you know, an establishing of labor standards overall, as establishing a floor for wages. You know, and it was never designed as a floor that would be set so high that everybody could, you know, afford everything that they wanted, but certainly as a floor for people to provide a decent standard of living. And as because they did not index it to inflation, that floor gets eroded very, very quickly, making it difficult for families to see minimum wage jobs as a viable way out of poverty. I mean, right now it's not. You could work full-time, full year, and still be in poverty. And what's more, not have access most likely to health insurance through an employer. So poor, without access to health care, and probably no paid sick time or vacation time as well.
So what has been the political impediment on a federal level to get this change? It seems to me that it would be easy to convince legislators to raise minimum wage, given that most people come from states where a lot of their constituents work at minimum wage jobs.
One would think and hope. One would hope. No, unfortunately, the business lobby, and especially the fast food industry and the retail industry, lobby very diligently against increases in the minimum wage, saying that it will dramatically harm their ability to hire people, when in fact research has consistently shown that raising the minimum wage has not led to employment declines. They don't lay off fast food workers or retail workers when the minimum wage goes up. But they have lobbied against it because every extra dollar that they have to pay minimum wage workers is money that doesn't go into their bottom line. So, and they, of course, have a much stronger lobby and a much broader presence here in D.C. than do low-wage workers and their families.
Does the fact that we have a company such as Walmart, the largest retailer in the world, do they benefit from keeping minimum wage rates at this level?
Certainly. They benefit very much so from having low minimum wages, because then they don't have to pay their workers so much. But, you know, they don't benefit in another way, which is that many of the folks who shop at Walmart are low, you know, everyone shops at Walmart, obviously, but many of the people who shop there are also low-income families, low-wage workers, minimum-wage workers. And if their wages are being kept so low that they're barely able to escape poverty, that doesn't give them a lot of money to go out and demand the kind of stuff that Walmart is selling. So it's sort of a double-edged sword. For any individual store, it's best to keep wages low. But as long as we keep wages so low across the economy, it dampens consumer demand.
If the largest retailer in the world takes advantage of paying workers minimum wage, there's not money to buy the products.
Well, that is sort of the logical conclusion there. And, you know, we're seeing that right now with the fact that so many American households have been going into debt over the past few years. We've seen increasing rates of bankruptcy and foreclosures as a result of that. But people are living off their credit cards. And they can do that because credit cards are so much easier to get, but it also means that connection between how much you pay people and how much they can demand has been severed a bit. If you think back to Henry Ford and his paying workers $5 a day so that eventually they could afford to buy his cars, that's the kind of logic that Walmart doesn't use. They really want to pay their workers the lowest wages possible, and they're not as concerned, it seems, with making sure that they can afford their products.
One of the arguments used by the critics of the minimum wage is that most of the people that
have to be paid minimum wage are not families. They're not people that are trying to support children. They're kids trying to get a summer job. Describe what the average minimum wage worker looks like.
Yeah, well, you know, that is such a widely held fallacy. Nearly 90% of minimum wage workers are over age 20. And minimum wage workers earned an average of 68% of their total family income. So, you know, most of them are adults, and over half of them are between the ages of 25 and 54, which is the group that we were looking at in our studies, or what we consider prime age workers, mostly out of school, not sort of retirees or pre-retirees working part-time or something, but really folks we expect to be supporting families. Half of minimum wage workers between that age, and they provided a significant, if not most, of their family income on average.
So the fact of the matter is that we're talking about the hearts and the hearts of America in terms of the types of people that are living their lives solely on the basis of minimum wage. We're talking about the average person out there.
Yes, definitely, definitely. And that average person is not a teenager, but it's a woman in her, you know, somewhere between 25 and 54, disproportionately immigrants, non-Native Americans, people of color, and people with less education. And it's not necessarily kids, you know, just out there working for, you know, gas money or something.
What is being done in Congress to raise the minimum wage? Are there any efforts afoot?
Well, yes, there has been a bill introduced by in both in the House and the Senate by Senators Kennedy and Representative Miller on the House side that would increase the minimum wage up to $7.25 an hour over the next 2 years. Now, it's not, unfortunately, very likely to get passage this session, although we can hope, and they are certainly working diligently to get more folks to sign on and hopefully get passage. But they introduced a similar bill last year, and the Republican Congress did not pass it. So there is some hope. There's at least some legislation, but we'll have to wait for a while to see whether or not it indeed passes.
What was the most surprising thing that you discovered in your report, No Way Out, how prime age workers get trapped in minimum wage jobs? What surprised you the most?
You know, I think the thing that actually surprised me the most, or that I found the most like, wow, that really is important, was that workers were far more likely to move up out of minimum wage jobs during the good boom years of the late 1990s relative to the early 1990s and relative to today during this sort of long-term labor market slowdown that we've been experiencing since the recession in the early 2000s, so that the crux of that is that labor market conditions really matter. Low unemployment, strong wage growth, a really vibrant labor market is one of the best things that we can do to help workers move up and out. Besides dealing with some of the issues around discrimination, which also seem apparent in this study, but that a strong labor market really is the key to helping low-wage workers and their families.
And how did the issues of discrimination impact in this study?
Well, what I found, you know, I kept running these regressions, what I saw over and over again is that if you are a woman, if you're non-Native, that is not born here in the United States, or a person of color, much more likely to not leave a minimum wage job compared to other workers. And that is after controlling for educational attainment and the kinds of jobs. So if you had a man and a woman in the same job with the same educational attainment levels at the same age, the woman is still far less likely to move out of a minimum wage job relative to the man. And again, if you had a person born in the United States next to a person not born in the United States, where everything else is the same between them, they're the same gender, same job, same education, that person who is not born in the United States is far less likely to move up relative to the Native person. So there does seem to be something.
When you factor in a person of color that's born here and that's male,
and
where does he lie? What happens to him?
He is less likely to move up compared to white males So there is, in the, sort of the same way, again, looking at all of, sort of holding constant all of the other things that could vary. Somebody with the same age, the same education, the same kind of job, an African-American male is less likely to move up compared to a white male. So you do see these things going on here that don't, that seem to be related, of course, to discrimination or to something about the labor market where certain kinds of people simply aren't able to move up as easily. But having said that, this strong economy of the late 1990s was really the best period for women, for African-Americans, for recent immigrants. That really did help those groups move up as well. So there is this connection between the state of the labor market overall and how well disadvantaged groups are able to move up. So you can sort of attack it from both angles, but really that strong labor market is critical.
But the creation of a strong labor market, whose hands does that lie in?
Well, a lot of that does lie in the hands of the Treasury, the U.S. Treasury under the Federal Reserve. I'm sorry, not the Treasury, the Federal Reserve under currently under Alan Greenspan, and the federal government. We missed some important opportunities over the past few years during the recession of the early 2000s to help recreate the kind of labor market that we saw during the late 1990s, the kinds of policies that the federal government implemented have not led to the kinds of job growth that we saw just a few years ago. Whereas I think if they'd implemented different kinds of policies, we would have seen much stronger both employment growth and wage growth. So this is something that really the federal government does have some control over. Of course, it's also the things that both state governments and individuals, we all participate in the economy, but really the kinds of macro policies that come from Washington do play a critical role.
And Dr. Boucher, where can people get a copy of the report, No Way Out, How Prime-Age Workers Get Trapped in Minimum Wage Jobs?
It is available on our website, which is www.ceper.net.
Very good. Dr. Heather Boucher, economist with the Center for Economic and Policy Research, joining us from Washington, D.C. Thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
My pleasure. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I'll be back after this. Stay with me.
But now you never show it to me, do you? And remember when I moved in you, the holy dark was moving too. And every breath we drew was hallelujah, 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 hallelujah,
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Westbound 270 at the Illinois 203 and the Canal Bridge. Traffic is easing after an earlier stall. Southbound 55 at Weber Road. Look for that to be cleared. The screen door has been removed from the roadway. Northbound 55 between Carondelet and Gravois. Expect normal traffic. Eastbound 44 between Bowles and 270, no problems reported. Eastbound 40 from Lindbergh, look for very heavy volume at this hour. Westbound 270 is slow after 367 all the way through West Forest, and westbound 255 from Telegraph to Lima, look for no problems to report there. Northbound 270 is a little slow on either side of 44. Eastbound 70 is slow from... Eastbound 70 is slow from T.R. Hughes all the way into Mid Rivers Mall. Eastbound 40 from Clayton, Worson, and Hanley, look for traffic to be lighter than normal. Eastbound 40 slows after 141 all the way to Mason Road, and your bridge approaches stack up like this. Westbound 64 at the 5570 merge, look for no problems report. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street all the way on the Poplar Street Bridge, however, you can expect slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from Laclede's Landing, everything looks good this hour. Eastbound 64 at St. Clair Avenue, look for road construction. The left lane is closed there, and there is a short backup at this hour. That's a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, even Toyotas, need periodic maintenance. And when it's time, make sure you bring yours to a local Toyota dealer offering factory-trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. That's Toyota confidence. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Pretty much the same all the way through. Partly sunny today with a high, with scattered showers and a high in the mid-90s this evening. Partly cloudy, becoming mostly cloudy overnight. A chance for showers with a low around 70. Friday, partly sunny. 40% chance of showers with a high around 90. Friday evening, partly cloudy. Once again, another chance for showers and a low around 70. And then on Sunday, you guessed it, partly sunny with a 40% chance of showers. The high should be around 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU with some clouds in the sky, we have 72 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 71 with partly cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
ALS is a disease that can paralyze the body, yet the mind remains alert and clear. ALS is a disease that you can help fight, and all you need is your feet. The ALS Association, along with WGNU Radio, invite you to walk with us on Saturday, June 25th, at Steinberg Rink in Forest Park. To join the walk, pick up your registration forms at WGNU or register online at www.alsa-stl.org, or you can call 314-534-0610. We'll look forward to seeing you on Saturday, June 25th, at the Walk to Defeat ALS.
Points to those points among princes. Tune in every Saturday from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. The show called Roster Resolutions. Only on Radio Free St. Louis, 920 on AM dial WGNU. Also on the net at WGNU.net. 2 hours of classical roots reggae, for the prophecies are told through musical instruments. Roster Resolutions.
There are many ways to say goodbye.
See ya.
Cheerio.
Hasta la vista.
Ciao.
Toodaloo.
Bon voyage.
Sayonara, sister.
Later, gator.
You can say goodbye to inflexible business wireless plans any way you choose. Then say hello to Sprint PCS and a variety of flexible plans and services designed especially for your business. Right now, when you activate a new line and sign up for a 2-year service agreement, you can get the new Sprint PCS VI2300 phone by Sanyo for just $1.99. Buy as many as you like at this price. And with traditional voice calling, walkie-talkie style calls, and email capabilities, you'll stay better connected. For this limited time offer, visit a Sprint store or call 1-877-PCS-4-BIZ. That's 1-877-PCS-4-BIZ. Subject to credit. Offer not available everywhere. Subject to changes. Termination fees, terms, and conditions apply. Say hello to savings today.
Hello.
With Sprint, business is beautiful.
Denzel Washington for the Boys and Girls Clubs.
In my hand, I'm holding a 2-inch by 3-inch piece of paper that has changed the lives of millions of young people. It's kept them off drugs, out of gangs, and in school. Now, what could be that powerful and still fit in the palm of my hand? A membership card from the Boys and Girls Clubs. Every day, another 300 kids will join clubs all across the country. That's 300 kids who will be picking up a membership card instead of a gun or a needle or a knife. You know, too many people feel like they can't make a difference, but I'm telling you this. Put this card in the hands of a child, and you will change that child's life. Do that, and you can change the world. It's up to all of us. Support a program that works. The Boys and Girls Clubs. The positive place for kids.
For more information and to find out how you can support the Boys and Girls Clubs, call 1-800-854-CLUB. That's 1-800-854-CLUB.
Fight for you.
fight for you, baby. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. Don't forget that this show is archived daily on the World Wide Web at whiterosesociety.org. Check them out. It is apparently people are just really, really going crazy with downloading the show. So join the hordes over there at whiterose.org. All kinds of liberal commentators, progressive commentators, radio hosts that you can hear at whiterosesociety.org. Check them out. Check out the show. If you missed an hour, you can always get an hour. And one of the shows, one of the issues that we have covered on the show, the Downing Street memo. I love what we do here. I love what we do to talk about issues and to see them played out all across this country, to talk about the very same issues that are being played out all over this country, to be ahead of the curve in some cases, to be the curve some places. It's a fabulous, fabulous place for us to be. Check this out. Article in USA Today. And Wednesday, as a matter of fact, a simmering controversy over whether the American media has ignored a secret British memo about how President Bush built his case for war bubbled over into the White House on Tuesday. At a late afternoon news conference, Reuters correspondent Steve Holland asked Bush and British Prime Minister Tony Blair about a memo that has been widely written about and discussed in Europe, but less so in the United States. The most attention paid by the media so far to the Downing Street memo, first reported May 1st in the Sunday Times of London. The memo said that some of the president's sharpest critics, such as Representative John Conyers, said the evidence is to be strong that Bush decided to go to war then, and he looked for evidence to support his decision. According to the question that was asked of Bush, the memo said intelligence facts were being fixed by the Bush administration around a policy that saw military action as inevitable, the newspaper quoted from the memo. Bush told reporters, "There is nothing further from the truth. Both of us didn't want to use our military. It was our last option." Blair added that the facts were not being fixed in any shape or form at all. So understand that the memo said intelligence and facts were being fixed by the Bush administration around a policy that saw military action as inevitable. When it was reported in Europe, the Sunday Times memo story broke 4 days before the British national elections, causing a sensation in Europe. In Europe, American media reacted more cautiously. That's a kind word. That's a kind word. They weren't cautious about it. They cowed, as they always. It was a C word, but it wasn't cautious. It was cowed. The New York Times wrote about the memo in May, but didn't mention until the 15th paragraph that the memo stated that U.S. officials had fixed intelligence and facts. That from the liberal media. None of the stories appeared on any front pages. Several other media outlets, including evening news programs, had not said a word about the document. So when people called the show on this week, when we talked about the Downing Street memo, we talked about that on Monday. We did that on Monday. So when people call the show and ask the question of why haven't we heard about it, when people call my show and say, this is the first time I've heard about it on your show, when people call, when people say that 125,000 people signed on johnconyers.com to sign on the petition to get the ball rolling for an impeachment inquiry into because of this memo, when people just hear about afterdowningstreet.org, there's a reason why you're not hearing about us, because the national news, ABC, CBS, NBC, not one of them has said a word about the document before Tuesday. And the USA Today was honest enough to say that Tuesday, is the first time that USA Today mentioned the memo. They were honest enough to say, we didn't say jack about it until Tuesday. But people who have opposed the decision, now, and listen to how they're phrasing it. Even though they say that, they being USA Today, some activists, this is what is written, some activists who opposed Bush's decision to attack Iraq have been peppering editors with letters and emails to push the media into more aggressive coverage. Last week, a group known as Democrats.com offered $1,000 offered $1,000 to anyone who could get Bush to answer yes or no to this question. Did his administration fix the intelligence about Iraq weapons of mass destruction and alleged ties to terrorism? I love this quote. We want the Michael Jackson, Paris Hilton, Star Wars. We want what the Michael Jackson, Paris Hilton, and Star Wars stories have gotten. Endless repetition until people have heard about it. That's fair, isn't it? If we can hear about Star Wars until we're sick, why can't we hear about this? 454-0400 is my phone number. We're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown. USA Today chose not to publish anything about the memo before today for several reasons. Newspaper senior assignment editor said, we could not obtain the memo or a copy of it from a reliable source. Oh, Lord. We have much to talk about. I'm Liz Brown. I'll get back at you after this.
Break me down and strip me naked. They write a brand new rule and break it. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they fake it. But I'm gonna make it. Lord, I can take it. I'm the prettiest man alive. Cut the drama, boy, save it for your mama. I'm the prettiest man alive. I can't sweat it, know I got to get it, I'm
In 1805, Lewis and Clark described in their journals a country teeming with wildlife.
Bison as far as the eye can see.
Rivers churning with fish.
They wrote of scenes of endless beauty and of meeting more than 100 nations of American Indian whose lives were one with our environment. Now, imagine what Lewis and Clark and the American Indians they met would say if they walked the trail today. Would they be pleased?
There are herds of homes where the buffalo once roamed.
Or would they feel differently?
Something must be done to save what's left of this great place.
As we commemorate the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, we encourage you to consider what's been lost and what we can do to preserve what's left of the trail that still winds through us all. Walk with Lewis and Clark and see what you discover at www.lewisandclark200.org.
This is a public service message of the National Council of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, the Missouri Historical Society, and the Ad Council.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Manila. The president of the Philippines is in trouble over allegations that she played a part in fixing last year's elections. A Philippine news agency says it has a tape of a conversation between President Gloria Arroyo and the election commissioner in which she asks about the progress of the fix. Her official position is the tape is nothing more than a hoax. Mrs. Arroyo won last June's election by about 1 million votes over her opponent, a movie star named Fernando Po, who died later last year. The allegations come at a time when her family is struggling with more allegations that the family took illegal gambling payoffs as part of a numbers racket in a province south of the capital city. And Dateline Tallahassee. Former Florida Secretary of State and current Republican Representative Katherine Harris has announced plans to run for the Senate in 2006. Harris gained notoriety during the 2000 presidential elections when it was revealed that she hired a private firm run mostly by Republicans to purge Democrats from the state voter rolls. She's called a top fundraiser and a darling of GOP activists. Some higher-ups in the Florida Republican Party had urged her not to run for former Senator Bob Graham's seat last year because it could have caused a severe backlash that may have cost President Bush the state and possibly the White House. She's now planning to challenge Democrat Bill Nelson for the Senate seat next year. This is your wake-up call global news update.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs, Sears.
3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Your computer can bring you the gospel voice of choice every weekend online at WGNU.net.
Oh! It's Ed McMahon. Did I win the sweepstakes?
No, but you can be a winner with the U.S. Small Business Administration. Take it from me, Ed McMahon. If you're a small business owner or dream of being one, the SBA has tools and services to help you. For more information, call 1-800-YOU-ASK-SBA or log on to our website, sba.gov. Hey, where are you going? Don't you want the balloons?
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get to me. We have much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Yes, Liz, I remember in Watergate, G. Gordon Liddy offered to kill Jack Anderson or any other person the White House designated, and you got to wonder about the press, whether they just fear, you know, loss of employment and jobs, whether the coroner office or the people running it have sent down directives and memos about what to cover and what not to cover. And then the main thing is that this administration is not playing a game. They are ruthless. They are very dedicated, and they are very fanatic. And anyone who tries to cross them, they deal with, and it isn't pretty. So why the press has been so silent, who knows, but fear is a very strong thing, whether for your livelihood, your job, or even your physical life. Thank you very much, Liz.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Well, we've done it. This country has topped $1 trillion in the amount of money that has been spent in Iraq. Ain't that something? $1 trillion. $1 trillion. So it just makes you, I just want you to feel, I want you to think about the amount of money, the T word, $1 trillion. $1 trillion in Iraq. Juxtapose that next to the lousy several hundred million dollars that George W. Bush has said will give to the continent of Africa for aid. We've put $1 trillion into a piece of land that is about the size of California. Do you know, for God's sake, what
we could have done in this country for $1 trillion. Do not tell me that the amount of money that George W. Bush is talking about for Africa, don't tell me that it is anything less than spitting in the face of this continent. You got to be kidding. That's as trifling as the lousy $10 million he said after the tsunami. So, you know, if Halliburton wants $100 million, that's not even, they're not even offering these countries as much money as Halliburton and Brown and Root have gotten for contracts in Iraq. Feel that. Feel that. So for anybody to think that, and I just want you to feel this. What does it say that you can spend $1 trillion on a plot of land no bigger than California and it's not fixed and it has not begun to be fixed? What does that say about A, your fiscal prowess? What does it say about B, about whether the problem can be fixed? And C, what does it say about your ability to prioritize? We have spent over $1 trillion and counting, on a plot of land no bigger than California. And things are still, things are worse than they were when we first started. $1 trillion on a plot of land no bigger than California. Africa could say, all I got was a lousy T-shirt. We went to the World Bank. Mommy and Daddy went to the World Bank, and all I got was a lousy T-shirt. Ben.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning, Liz. Well, what's really staggering is not so much as how much money, the $1 trillion, that's bad enough, but how it was spent is even worse, because they spent that money mostly blowing up Iraq and killing people.
Mm-hmm.
And they would rather spend $1 trillion to blow up and kill people than they would spend money in Africa to help people live.
That's right.
The wickedness of the policy.
Mm.
That's the demonic way this country has turned.
Mm. Demonic is a good word. It really is.
Because those people, the Kinleys, the Karl Roves, and all of that gang of Bush's buddies from Texas, with their cowboy boots propped up on the desks and coffee tables in the Oval Office, those boys are some worse than the James gang and the Daltons.
Mm.
They're a bunch of Texas cowboy outlaws.
Mm. Mm.
They're worse than that.
Mm. It's awful. It's awful.
Because at least those old gangsters from the West would shoot it out face to face.
There you go. There you go.
These are bushwhackers.
Mm. Thanks for your call, Ben.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break, folks. When we come back, we're going to be talking about driving through the streets of your town. Asbestos. Asbestos. Coming through St. Louis on a daily basis. Ooh, 3 cheers for the red, white, and blue, right? I'll be back. I'm Liz Brown, the Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace are kill tonight, remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White. A possible break in the case of Natalie Holloway, the Alabama teen missing more than a week in Aruba. She vanished on the last night of a senior trip. And now?
Police have arrested the three young men who were originally detained and questioned and then released in this case. They were the three young men who last saw Natalie Holloway alive. One of them, the son of a prominent justice official here in Aruba. There are reports that their homes are being searched and that police are now beginning to look at them as very, very serious people of interest in this case.
ABC's Deborah Roberts. Dave Holloway is Natalie's dad.
Every day you think about it. What if she doesn't come home? You know, we get out and look and we eliminate possibilities and maybe we'll find her or someone will find her. And that's the hope that you hang on to.
Two former hotel security guards have also been detained in the case. There will be another island-wide search for Natalie today. Back to the hospital for Michael Jackson. Back to deliberations for the jury. We're live with ABC's Alex Stone in Santa Maria, California.
Liz Jackson has been to the hospital 6 times in the last week, mainly for back pain. He was treated and released again overnight. Frank Tyson is one of Jackson's close friends.
I think it's very difficult for anyone to understand for him to be going through this process. Of course, it's going to take a toll.
Day 5 of jury deliberations will begin in a few hours. It'll be a shorter than normal day because at least one of the jurors has to attend a graduation ceremony. Liz.
ABC's Alex Stone live. Gas prices are up, but that's not keeping drivers off the road. Demand's up 3% over last year. The average gas price is up about 10 cents a gallon. The Atlantic storm season has given birth to its first of the season, Tropical Storm Arlene, edging closer to western Cuba. It may move into the Gulf of Mexico this weekend. This is ABC News.
Get the good stuff.
Even with today's high-tech engines, a good old-fashioned oil change is still the most important maintenance you can do. Changing your oil every 3 months or 3,000 miles improves fuel economy and dependability and helps you avoid costly repairs. Right now at Napa Auto Parts, you can get quality Napa motor oil for just $1.19 per quart. That's great news for you and your engine. Price does not include state and local taxes and recycling fees.
Get the good stuff.
Napa, get the good stuff.
You know you need life insurance. Now you can get it in just 10 minutes with no medical exam, no long forms. Just call the American Life Insurance Company of New York. If you qualify, your coverage begins right away. Call now for a free quote. 1-866-496-4500. That's 1-866-496-4500. Contains limitations not available in all states. Based in New York City, American Life issues term life under form number ALNYSELO3 or state variation.
Look what turned up in a shoebox in Germany. A little ditty by Johann Sebastian Bach.
Dating from 1713, the Bach aria survived a fire and was found in a shoebox in Germany. Bach enthusiast and suborganist at Westminster Abbey, Robert Quinney.
Bach is one of the greatest composers, so any little fragment by him is of interest.
For his wife, soprano Cecilia Osmond, it's a joy to sing.
It's got a sort of innocent joyfulness about it.
Quinney, heard here accompanying his wife on the harpsichord, says 1713 was an important year for Bach and signaled a sea change in the way he wrote music. Linda Alvin, ABC News, London.
Hogwarts calling. An Indiana teenager is such a huge Harry Potter fan, he started a website. It's one of J.K. Rowling's favorites, so the author invited him to visit her in Scotland at her expense and promised a rare interview. She woke him with a phone call, which at first he said was extremely odd. I'm Liz White, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, no arrests have been made in the murder of a homeless woman in North St. Louis. The body of 44-year-old Sonia Cahill was found in the backyard of an abandoned home in the 1300 block of Temple. Cahill had been shot in the head. Landlords in the city of St. Louis will have to stop dumping their tenants' belongings at the curb next week. Mayor Francis Slay says as of June 13th, landlords will not be allowed to dump their evicted tenants' belongings on the streets, sidewalks, or in the alleys. Mayor Slay says the law should send a strong signal to the people of St. Louis.
Somebody does something like this to a city street, he or she has no respect for the people who live on the block, has no respect the neighborhood, and has no respect for the city of St. Louis. This will send a message to people who live on residential streets in the city of St. Louis that this kind of activity is not going to happen, and if it does, they've got recourse.
Landlords dumping property will face up to a $500 fine and 90 days in jail. Although this is not a new law, Mayor Slay says the current law will now be strictly enforced. Slay says cleaning up this type of dumping costs the city about $300,000 a year. A study at Washington University in St. Louis is providing new hope for patients suffering one of the most common complications from heart surgery. Lab tests in dogs have shown that atrial fibrillation could be lessened or prevented through the use of anti-inflammatory drugs. Cardiovascular specialist and surgery professor Dr. Ralph Damiano says the surgery indicates that post-surgical inflammation may be to blame for the irregular heart rhythm. The findings are reported in the current issue of the journal Circulation. Finally this hour, the Rams have released right tackle Kyle Turley after he failed a physical. The team will take a salary cap hit of $1.82 million this season and $5.47 million in 2006. Turley also had a much-publicized conflict with head coach Mike Martz that strained his relationship with the team. He started all 16 games in 2003, but a herniated disc in his back kept him out all of last season. The Rams spent a first-round draft pick on Alex Barron, who is expected to be the starter at right tackle this season. The club has also cut defensive end Jay Williams. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. Protect your car's engine with clean motor oil. Stop by Napa Auto Parts today and pick up quality Napa motor oil for just $1.19 per quart. Napa, get the good stuff. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by HungryAgents.com. Eastbound 44 at Arsenal, there's an overturned vehicle, and two left lanes are blocked. Traffic jams through Laclede Station. Southbound 270 at 370. Traffic has returned to normal after an earlier goose that was in the roadway. It flew off this hour. Westbound 44 at Arsenal, look for the left lane to be blocked due to an eastbound accident. Westbound 40 at Oakland, there's an accident on left shoulder. Traffic jams back through the point of Big Bend. Eastbound 70 between Blanchette and 94. Look for major road construction having two left lanes closed. That traffic is backed up through 94. Northbound 55 between Holly Hills and Lafayette. Look for normal traffic this hour. Eastbound 44 between Chrysler and Merrimack River Bridge is slow this hour. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Lindbergh. Look for very heavy volume this hour. Westbound 270 is slow just after 367 all the way into West Florissant. Northbound 270 between Gravois and Big Bend, you've got stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 70 is heavy at 79. Eastbound 40 between Hanley and Laclede Station, look for slow traffic this hour. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, look for slow volume there as well. Your bridge approaches shape up like this. Westbound 5570 between 64 and the Poplar Street Bridge is stop-and-go. Westbound 64 at 5570 is slow as well, and westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing. Look for traffic to be flowing freely this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by HungryAgents.com. Stop paying 5-7% real estate commission to your home, to people to sell your home at HungryAgents.com. Top realtors in your neighborhood compete for your listing, saving you thousands. They'll help you find a realtor that's right for you. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. pretty much the same all the way straight through. Partly cloudy today with scattered showers and thunderstorms. The high should be in the mid-90s this evening. Partly cloudy in the evening, becoming mostly cloudy overnight. A 40% chance of showers with a low around 70. For Friday, partly sunny skies with a 40% chance of showers, a high around 90. Friday evening, partly cloudy once again, another chance for showers with a low around 70. And Saturday, partly sunny with a high around 90, and there's a chance for showers on Saturday as well. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 75 degrees under mostly clear skies. Lambert Field has 74 degrees and patchy clouds as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the 8:30 portion of the hour.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Our toll-free number, of course, is 1-877-920-WGNU. Two news stories have caught my eye and caught my attention. Story out of the local paper, dated Saturday, June 4th. Beginning on Monday and extending through the end of next year, trucks loaded with thousands of tons of radioactive waste will pass through the St. Louis area on their way to a temporary resting place in Texas. The second story that caught my eye was a story about how the state of Missouri, St. Louis in particular, is amongst the top 10 states in America that have been judged to have the worst highways. So think about it. We have a highway department that says, yeah, our road, we spent all of our money on building new roads and not repairing our roads. But we're going to get on that. At the same time, we have this confession, this admission from our highway protectors. Comes the news that starting on Monday, today's Thursday, this week on Monday, trucks loaded with thousands of tons of radioactive waste will be chugging along, dodging the potholes and cracks of the roads we call home here in Missouri. We need to talk about this. We need to talk about how messed up roads aside, how dangerous has our world just gotten. I have joining me this morning the Research Director for Civil Justice at Public Citizen, Chris Schmidt, joining us in Washington, D.C., to talk about radio waves rolling down our highways. Chris, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
It's bad, isn't it? It's bad, isn't it?
There are some things to be concerned about.
Yes, let's talk about this. How did we end up in a place where for the next year we're going to have rolling trucks filled with trucks, not train cargo facilities, trucks rolling through, filled with radioactive waste, rolling through St. Louis and all across this country? How do we get here?
Well, we generated a lot of waste along the way, and now there needs to be a place to put it. You know, that along with the asbestos issue, which we've been following recently, really gives you pause about what's going on around you.
So let's talk about let's move to one of the reasons why we have this radioactive waste rolling through the streets of St. Louis to the way that asbestos has been able to the asbestos companies have been able to get over, because it's the law that's allowed this. It's the change in the law and the change in the attitude that allows this radioactive waste to roll through our streets, right?
Well, it's the waste has been generated in any number of different ways, and it needs a place to go, and there isn't a place to go. And as you mentioned, it'll be in temporary storage. Missouri also, as we talked about asbestos, is a major hotspot for a very major issue now with what's going on with that. People being compensated for exposure, and very quietly moving through the Congress now. Is some pretty important legislation involving tens of billions of dollars in compensation to victims or not.
And that's what I mean. In terms of all of this is decided by legislation. So let's talk about the legislation that is percolating through about asbestos.
That's right. Well, certainly anyone in the Midwest probably knows about asbestos because it was so widely used in industry, and it's a deadly fiber that causes just horrible disease of the lungs, and people suffocate, and people have mesothelioma and things of that nature. So it's a very, very bad disease. Now, of course, people have gone to court to try and get compensation for their exposure. Now in Washington, there's a plan pushed by a fairly small group of companies that are involved to basically shut off people's access to the court system to gain compensation. And it would replace it with a national trust fund that would pay compensation. The only problem is, according to research that we have and others have done, is that the amount that would be provided under this new system is way less than the companies would be obliged to provide under the old system.
How so?
Well, the deal basically is this. It says all you folks who have asbestos injuries, you will not be able to go to the court system. We're going to turn off the court system for compensating you. In return, we're going to create this other thing. But this other thing, in so doing, will provide less overall compensation because the companies who have written it have been able to tune the language to dial down their liability by at least tens of billions of dollars.
Well, we see a similar type of thing going on in the credit card industry, where people, unbeknownst to many people, that when they sign off on their credit cards, that they're agreeing to arbitration.
Oh, absolutely.
So this is the same type of a thing, only it's now with victims of asbestos.
That's right. I mean, you see it across the economy recently, efforts to basically favor business at the expense of their customers and consumers. Credit cards, we've just seen a big change in bankruptcy legislation here in Washington. Now the compensation for asbestos. And these things don't get a whole lot of notice, so that by the time they do start to get notice, you know, they can be done deals.
And I recognize the whole notice piece. I just did a story in the last hour about how the story about the Downing Street memo has never made it to ABC, NBC, or CBS.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, there are many, many things that are not getting noticed at all. But the thing that troubles me the most about this so-called trust fund is, are the people that brought this to us. This wasn't just something that was cooked up by a bunch of conservative Republicans over here.
No, in fact, it's basically a play by people in industry. There's actually bipartisan opposition and concern about this legislation for different reasons. But basically, this was a relatively small number of companies getting together amongst themselves and tugging on the ear of some folks in Congress. Even though this thing has come out of a key committee in the Senate and is ready to go to the full Senate next month, there are still major questions. The people behind the bill won't identify themselves. The senators involved won't say who's going to have to pay into this. It's a huge $140 billion thing that's basically consists of the sponsors saying, hey, trust us, take it on faith, it'll work out.
And it seems like they're taking a page from the Dick Cheney energy bill, that they don't have to answer any questions. And they don't have to tell us who's involved.
They have been very reluctant to answer questions, and there's good reason to believe that there are conflicts of interest involved, and it's not clear who the players are going to be, and things of that nature. So it's very momentous legislation. You know, asbestos injuries may be, if not the top, certainly among the top three occupational safety exposure problems in American industrial history. And here, not under the cover of night, but certainly under the cover of less than full disclosure, they propose to sweep away that liability in a way that has many people very concerned about what it means for victims.
And again, I want to underscore that this is Senate Bill 852. It's sponsored by Arlen Specter, a Republican from Pennsylvania, and plenty of support from Patrick Leahy, a Democrat from Vermont.
That's right. In fact, it's Senator Leahy's support which is really responsible for the bill getting as far as it has gotten, because it gives the impression of being a bipartisan effort, which by virtue of his involvement it is. However, many people, Democrats chiefly, but others as well, wonder why it is exactly that Leahy has decided to sign on to this.
And let's talk about, for a second, Chris, let's talk about the winners in this legislation, the Fortune 5 companies, Fortune 500 companies. Talk about those.
Yeah, there's basically two sets of winners. One is a group of companies that were actively involved in the sale and manufacture of asbestos directly, you know, the asbestos firms. And those would be companies along the lines of Kaiser Aluminum, USG, W.R. Grace, you know, companies that were involved in the product per se. Then you have a round of other companies who have used asbestos. They didn't make it, but they used it. They either used it in their products or they used it in their facilities and thus exposed their workers in that way. And there you have really the leading lights of American industry, Dow Chemical, General Electric, Ford Motor, General Motors, things like that. These companies would stand to have large liabilities because of their worker exposure. But as we said before, those liabilities will be substantially written down. not as much as the liabilities of the asbestos makers themselves, but these two groups will see tens of billions of dollars in reduction of liabilities. And that sounds very technical, but what that means is money that potentially would have gone to victims won't any longer.
And as I'm looking at your report, at least eight of the Fortune 500 companies, their asbestos payment to the trust fund would be capped at $27 million per year for 30 years.
That's right, and that's substantially less than they would have paid otherwise. And it's a very interesting facet of this legislation, which reveals sort of how it was constructed. You actually have large companies like these who would have their liability capped at levels on a proportional basis that are lower than smaller firms that have not had anywhere near the exposure. And this is one reason why you see some business opposition, because there are smaller and mid-sized firms who have had some liability for asbestos, but nowhere near the likes of the big ones. And yet on a proportional basis, they'll pay many times more than what the big ones will.
And if I could just interrupt for a second, Chris, I was struck by the fact that not only are these eight Fortune 500 companies having their payments capped at $27 million, but this company that they created, this ASG, has doled out $23 million to lobby Congress.
That's right.
They're paying more money to lobby Congress than they're going to have to pay if this goes through.
Yeah, in some cases that's true. There is this thing, the ASG, the Asbestos Study Group that you mentioned, and this is one of the secretive elements that we mentioned before. The Asbestos Study Group is pushing this. They've basically written it. They won't disclose who they are. They won't say what their liabilities are going to be. This is all part of the take it on faith thing that we talked about before.
So when we hear about smaller companies that didn't do as much wrong as the bigger companies having to pay proportionately more than the bigger companies, are they fighting this legislation? Are they trying to fight this legislation?
Some that are aware of it are. However, it's not really known widely what's going on. One of the things that the backers of the bill have not done is say who would be responsible for paying in. Because if they identified those companies, then there would be much more opposition than there is. As you may know, typically the way this legislation gets written is it's a very general description. So I guarantee you, for example, if the bill were to pass tomorrow and this general language which specifies who's supposed to pay what were enacted, there would be companies that would all of a sudden wake up and realize, hey, they just passed a law that says we have to pay into this fund. And they wouldn't have had a clue that they were potentially on the hook.
And I want to continue to underscore the fact that there's complete bipartisan hands in this pot. Talking about ASG, will you explain to us how where 90% of the lobbying funds of ASG went to?
Most of the lobbying effort has been directed at Democrats. And the reason being that the Democrats really are the key to whether it passes or not.
Mm-hmm.
The people who wanted to go out and pass this realized that Democratic support was going to be what they needed to make it happen. And so that's where they have directed these tens of millions of dollars worth of lobbying activity.
And interestingly enough, who was the company that was hired to go after the Democrats?
Well, as typically happens in a situation like this in Washington, when you decide that you need to lobby someone, you go find a lobby shop that has connections to one party or the other. There are some bipartisan, if you will, firms, but others tend to exist for one reason or another. And so the backers here went to primarily one, but a couple of places that are, they basically cater to Democrats and sought to, expand the support for the bill that way.
The Harbor Group.
That's right.
Who are they? Talk to us about the members of the Harbor Group.
Well, the Harbor Group is just a relatively small lobby shop here in Washington whose business has consisted largely of lobbying for this bill. And there are people involved, are staffers and former Hill people who have ties because of their previous affiliations. We call it the revolving door here in Washington, but basically had ties to Democratic interests. And so,
in particular, these were high-level staffers who left the White House at the end of Bill Clinton's second term.
That's right. You see some of those. You see former committee staff people. But the nature of the revolving door is, you know, you're in government service. Your service ends for whatever reason. Your person leaves office, or in the case of the Clinton White House, obviously, the term is up. And then, you know, you hang out a lobbying shingle, and you go back, and after an appropriate time, you use the contacts and whatnot that you had to lobby for a client who has a particular interest. In this case, it's asbestos.
And it's important to note also that 90% of the funds of ASG went to this one, as you described, small firm called the Harbor Group.
Right. It's a very targeted effort.
And so we're talking about 90% of about $24 million.
Right. It was a very targeted effort, actually unusual even by Washington standards, that it was so tightly focused on this stuff, because usually it's a little more broad-based, if you will, but it's pretty clear what's going on here.
And we're going to take a break, folks. I'm talking to Chris Schmidt, Research Director for Civil Justice at Public Citizen. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about an incredible issue of federal asbestos legislation, and the winners are. I'll be back.
Candy. Grandma's hand picked me up each time I fell. Grandma's hands, boy, they really came in a handy. She'd say, Matty, don't you whip that boy. What you wanna
see? Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Napa Auto Parts. Eastbound 44 at Arsenal, there's an overturned vehicle. Two left lanes are blocked and traffic jams all the way back to Big Bend. Westbound 40 at Oakland, look for an accident. Left lane is blocked. Traffic jams back through Hampton. Northbound 55 from Union Arsenal, no problems report. Eastbound 44 from Merrimack to the Merrimack River Bridge to Lewis, look for no problems there. Eastbound 40 at Lindbergh, that traffic is starting to ease up this hour. Westbound 270 coming in out of North County from 367 all the way into West Florissant, look for slow traffic as well. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks all the way up to Lindbergh, you can expect no problems in your 830 commute. Northbound 270 at 44, that traffic is starting to ease up this hour, as well as eastbound 70 at 79. Your bridge approaches stack up like this. Westbound 5570 at 64 in the Poplar Street Bridge, you still have stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 64 at the 5570 merge, look for that traffic to start to ease up this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois side all the way into Laclede's Landing, everything is starting to flow freeway now. Also, eastbound 40 between Brentwood and Laclede Station, stop-and-go traffic due to the westbound accident, and eastbound 64 at St. Clair Avenue, look for road construction there, having the left lane closed, and that creates a short backup. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Napa Auto Parts. Protect your car's engine with clean motor oil. Stop by Napa Auto Parts today and pick up quality Napa oil for just $1.19 a quart. Napa, get the good stuff. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Pretty much the same all the way straight through. Partly sunny skies, scattered showers today, high in the mid-90s this evening. Partly cloudy, becoming mostly cloudy. A 40% chance of showers with a low around 70. Moving on to Friday, partly sunny with a 40% chance of showers, high around 90. Friday evening, partly cloudy. Once again, another chance for showers with a low around 70. As well as Saturday, partly sunny skies, a 40% chance of showers. The high should be around 90 once again. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have partly cloudy skies and 75 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting some clouds and 74. Stay tuned for more of the award-winning Wake Up Call with your host, Liz Brown. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, your weather, and a final look at traffic in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Remember that song you sang in Sunday school? Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Since 1994, Hope for the Nations has reached out in love to children in 20 countries on 4 continents, providing the security to help homeless children grow into confident young people, educating and training them to become effective community leaders, helping them to help others through business development. Discover how Hope for the Nations reaches out in love to the children of the world. Get involved yourself. Visit www.hopeforthenations.com. That's hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations, a nonprofit organization turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders since 1994.
I can almost feel the sun beating down on me and the sand beneath my feet. But there's no way I'm going to get to the beach anytime soon.
Mom, it's so much fun to stay in a hotel. Can we go somewhere, please?
That's it. We'll have a mini vacation at Executive West Hotel with their Six Flags Kentucky Kingdom package. I heard the West is like brand new with a classy renovation. You will love it.
Yeah, we get to stay in a hotel with a pool and go to Six Flags Kentucky Kingdom.
You can get an overnight package at Executive West Hotel and 2 admissions to Six Flags Kentucky Kingdom for only $109. And we don't even have to pay to park.
And don't forget, Mom, there's a free shuttle ride from Executive West Hotel to the park and back.
And with Executive West Hotel's health club, I'll get my workout in and never miss a beat.
And can we get room service too?
Now you can enjoy the newly renovated rooms at Executive West Hotel, but with the same exemplary service they have always offered. Call now 1-800-626-2708. That's 1-800-626-2708. Executive West Hotel.
New state-of-the-art technology has made it possible to offer copies of programs heard on WGNU to the listening audience at a lower cost. If there is a specific program you are interested in having for your personal library, we can now make it available to you at a cost of $25 per hour. Please make a check or money order payable to WGNU Radio, 265 Union, St. Louis, 63108. Please specify the time, day, and particular topic, and allow 10 days delivery. All program recordings are subject to availability.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
And a rough way to go. But I can't turn back. My heart is fixed. My mind's made up. And my faith will see me through. Let me tell you.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I am talking to Chris Schmidt, Research Director for Civil Justice at Public Citizen. And he's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about the issue of federal asbestos legislation and who the winners are. Chris, welcome back.
Thank you.
Can you identify for us the companies that we're talking about?
Sure. As we said before, they sort of break into two categories. Mm-hmm. One is the companies that made or sold asbestos directly, and others would be companies that were big users of it, although not producers themselves.
Mm-hmm. So when we talk about Pfizer, who are we talking about? Which category are we talking about?
Pfizer would fall into that second category where they were a user, and that was via an affiliate of theirs called Quigley. But also among those would be people like Ford, General Electric, General Motors. In the case of the actual asbestos companies themselves, it'd be people like GAF, Kaiser Aluminum, Owens Corning, USG, W.R. Grace, people like that.
One of the arguments, or one of the positions taken by either the producers or the users of asbestos, in particular, I guess, the producers of asbestos, someone like a Dow Chemical, they make the argument that, just like a tobacco company made the argument, we didn't know that this stuff was dangerous. How true is that?
Well, it's pretty clear that as early as the early part of the 1900s.
1900s?
I guess that would be the 20th century. As early as 1920, 1930, certainly the dangers of asbestos were becoming known. Documents we've seen even peg it back to 1899, that it was known that asbestos caused health problems. Obviously, it wasn't as completely known. And then coming into the middle of the century, 1950s, 1960s, it was becoming clearer all the time. So there was fairly good warning sooner than many of these companies otherwise say that this was a very dangerous substance.
But you all have been able to, Public Citizen has been able to examine, for example, again, back to Dow Chemical, you've looked at internal memos, you've looked at letters, you've looked at responses to interrogatories. Dow knew.
Dow and some of the others knew, long before they say they did, that it was very dangerous and that they needed to do something. Now, in fairness, someone like Dow, for example, did take, and other companies did take steps to protect their workers, but it's also clear that long after the dangers were really, really known, and which is to say into the 70s and 80s, there were still substantial problems with exposure.
And the medical problem of asbestos, is it part of the challenge for people that have claims with asbestos is that it takes so long to manifest?
Yes, this is what we call a long latency type disease. And, there can be easily 15, 20, 30 years between exposure and when you develop it.
So the numbers of people that we're talking about that have been impacted or affected by asbestos, how many people are we talking about? And when would we reach the end of that cycle of people if this is a long-term manifestation?
Right. Well, I don't think anyone has a definitive number on how many people have been exposed, but numbers I've seen suggest close to 800,000 claims have been made.
Mm.
Some of those, candidly, are going to be bogus, but many of them clearly are not. If, for example, you say that the most serious exposure stopped maybe early 70s, which was when it was pretty well known and the federal government was working on exposure standards and whatnot, but if you were to take that position, 70s, mid-70s, and add 30 years, we're still potentially in the period where people could be coming down with this. And of course, you have notable hotspot places like, for example, Libby, Montana, where an entire community was contaminated. And furthermore, you have cases where workers would bring home fibers on their clothes, and people they lived with, their family, children, would get the disease. So it's a really insidious thing.
And at one point in our country's history, it was something that we used quite regularly. I was watching an episode of Leave It to Beaver a few years ago, and I was struck when the father character said that asked the wife to go get the asbestos gloves.
Is that so?
Yeah, go get the asbestos gloves. So this is something that we made part of what it is that we do.
Well, I hadn't heard that specific thing. That's very interesting. But sure, that shows how much it permeated the culture. But asbestos, for all its faults, is really good at one thing, and that's insulating. And so anything that requires a heat application, whether it's picking up, the baking pan in the oven, or insulating piping, or being in a brake lining of a car. Anywhere where heat and the need to insulate against heat is involved, asbestos was really almost perfectly suited for the task.
And that's why a company like GM is involved in this.
Oh, sure, yeah, absolutely. The automakers are up to their neck in it, and they're also very concerned about liability, because one of the other things that's going on is a lot of the makers have been forced into bankruptcy by this, and so people who have been continuing to seek damages, they look to sort of the next target down the line, and they go to where there are lots of assets. And the big three automakers are very concerned about what could be significant liability for asbestos, and that's one of the reasons why the automakers are supporting this, because it's a way to put a cap on their liability.
And one of the other the thing that is just awful to me is not only will this protect the industry, not only will this cap their damages, not only will it, some companies have to pay less if this trust fund, this so-called trust fund, is created, but they'll get to make money too because their stock prices will rise.
Sure. In fact, we've seen that already. Each time there's been a significant development in the bill, first of all, when it was announced, second of all, when it was introduced, later on, just a couple of weeks ago, when it came out of committee, each time we've seen the stocks of the asbestos companies jump up. And they're probably already, even when it's not yet certain whether the bill will pass, but there's already been hundreds of millions of dollars in stock market gains associated with this. And besides the companies involved and what that means for them and their investors, what that very clearly is Wall Street saying that the financial benefits of this deal will accrue to the companies.
Mm.
I mean, the stocks are going up because Wall Street's valuing them higher, and the reason Wall Street is valuing them higher is because they will be relieved of liability. So what's happening on Wall Street is probably the most unambiguous indication of where the benefits of this legislation lie.
And it's certainly not with the victims.
No.
We're going to take a break, folks, and get to some of your calls here. I'm talking to Chris Schmidt, Research Director for Civil Justice at Public Citizen. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about asbestos, and we're talking about a trust fund, federal asbestos legislation, and the winners are. This is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
News Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black owned and black operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
The Wake Up Call Global News Update is brought to you by
BlackOwnWeb.com, an internet directory of black-owned businesses. To find a black-owned business, log on www.blackownedweb.com, or to get your business listed, call 994-3107, 994-3107, BlackOwnedWeb.com.
This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline Addis Ababa. Ethiopian security forces opened fire on a crowd of protesters yesterday, killing 20 people in the capital city. The protests have been taking place in defiance of a ban ordered by the Prime Minister on just such activities. This comes after the May parliamentary elections. Meles Zenawi's party won a majority of seats in those elections, but opponents are saying there was widespread voter fraud and intimidation. The protesters yesterday clashed with special forces troops and began throwing rocks at the soldiers. Witnesses say when the shooting began, the protesters immediately started to flee, but the soldiers followed them and shot them down as they ran away. And Dateline Tallahassee. The Florida Supreme Court is looking at the state's school voucher program. They want to examine the funding of the program and the ramifications for religious schools. Opponents of the program say it takes money illegally from public to private schools and, in the process, violates the separation of church and state provision of the state constitution. Students going to public schools that have a failing rating from the state in 2 out of 4 years become eligible to get vouchers to go to private schools, and more than half that take part in the voucher system are choosing religious schools. The key issue is whether the state is fulfilling its mandate of providing a system of free public schools by allowing them to go to private schools, even if it pays for them to do so.
This is your wake-up call global news update, brought to you by
BlackOwnWeb.com, an internet directory of black-owned businesses. To find a black-owned business, log on www.blackownedweb.com, or to get your business listed, call 994-3107, 994-3107. BlackOwnWeb.com.
To me, summer is family time, a time to spend with the kids doing stuff we all love to do, which is why we go to Worlds of Fun. That and the fact that they have lots of coasters. Mamba, Timberwolf, Spinning Dragons, Boomerang. I like to ride them all. Of course, Worlds of Fun has stuff for the kids, too. Mine loved the new Peanuts Playhouse at Camp Snoopy. They played and played, took a little break, and then played and played some more. Then, if we need to cool off, we go to Oceans of Fun, where we ride the water slides, Typhoon and Diamond Head, and then the tube ride, Caribbean Cooler, Aruba Tuba, and Hurricane Falls. And finally, the wave pool. Another great thing is we can stay the night at the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort. Talk about easy.
Worlds of Fun and Oceans of Fun. Do one park or do both with the ride and slide ticket.
It's so cool.
Open daily. Make reservations for the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort or book your Joe Cool's Backyard Barbecue at worldsoffun.com.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Young hearts can go their way. Can't quit it all another day. I don't care what others say. They think we don't listen anyway. Time has come today.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, and we are talking about federal asbestos legislation. And the winners are, my guest, of course, is Chris Schmidt, Research Director for Civil Justice at Public Citizen. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. Let me get to a caller here. Arnold, you have a question for us?
Yes, Liz, how you doing?
Fine.
Okay, look, I used to work in a place back in the early 70s. The name of the place was Certain Tees. It's on North Broadway, up above Riverview, behind Porcelain Cement. They went out of business. And I used to work in there. This stuff is almost like it's a white flake, and it would come in 50 to 100-pound K's. I mean, it would be a cake. I can't describe it. And it's white. And they would mix it in these machines, and it would get hot. It's almost like you was having grits or something, and they get hot, get heavy as you stir them.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff we used them for irrigation pipe. Like you see iron pipes. There'd be irrigation pipes that you put down for your vegetation and stuff. Now, they claim that they didn't use that in Missouri, but they used it in all the states, and I believe they did it here, too. And the people were getting this off of the foods and stuff in the irrigation. I hope you guys know something about that.
Thank you, Arnold.
Thank you.
Chris, is that something that asbestos was used for?
Well, that's really astonishing. Candidly, I'm not aware of that kind of application. But what he describes of with the cake coming in and mixing and whatnot, that's fairly common as to how it was handled. But, boy, if it was getting into food or something like that, I guess really it just shows how widely this stuff was used.
And there's a connection in Missouri with a company that produces it. We have a Zonalite company?
Vermiculite. That's right. We talked earlier about this place called Libby, Montana, which was a major mining operation for this kind of stuff. And this stuff was vermiculite is a form of insulation. It's in many people's houses, estimated to be in 30 million houses in the United States. So dangerous that the EPA says stay out of your attic if you have it.
Mm.
Doctors we've talked to say that the mere movement of air through an attic in normal circulation, not a big wind or anything, but just the way the air moves through the venting is enough to disturb the fibers. So it's a very significant situation. Anyhow, long story short, this stuff was shipped from Libby all over the country, and it happens that St. Louis was a fairly large recipient of this, getting about 141,000 tons of this material, according to some good work that another group has done, the Environmental Working Group, looking at these kind of shipments. So, yeah, and of course, as your caller indicated, it's used in industry, you know, St. Louis being an industrial center. There was plenty of this stuff around St. Louis.
So if you could explain to us where do you think this legislation is going to go, this legislation that creates this trust fund that really is just a golden parachute for the industry?
Well, at the risk of dodging the question, it's tough to say. It's very finely balanced. It got out of committee and is moving to the Senate, the full Senate, based on some very kind of shaky circumstances. Support is tepid among some at best. There's pressure to change provisions, and if provisions change, the whole thing could blow up because the funding mechanism may no longer work. So it's a pretty tenuous situation, and it's the kind of situation where if folks let their representatives know how they feel about it, it could actually have an impact.
And I'm looking at your report, and I want to underscore that point of why people should let their legislators know about this. There's figure three that you have in your report about the estimated past and future liabilities for asbestos cases.
Could
you kind of take us through a couple of those companies so that people can understand what the past liability was and what the future liability is going to be and how many people will suffer if this legislation is changed?
Sure. Basically, you see a case where a company like, let me just pick an example here. Let's just take Kaiser Aluminum. If the current system didn't change, this company would be looking at about $1.5 billion in liability. Under this legislation, if it passed, it's estimated that they pay $163 million.
Mm.
So that's about a 90% reduction in what their liability would be. Someone like Pittsburgh Corning, $3.6 billion current system. You know, only about $46 million under the new system.
And how many claimants are we talking about here, too?
It varies by company,
right.
but someone like Dow has had a couple hundred thousand claimants. Others are easily in the tens of thousands themselves. And then these are just the big companies. There's a whole bunch of others as well that are much smaller. As we said before, I don't think anyone's got a good number, but, you know, we're talking hundreds of thousands, you know, high hundreds of thousands of claims already, and potentially others to be sick as well.
And a company like, and then there are also companies that don't have any past liabilities. These are the companies that have simply, like the Georgia Pacific, that simply has the future liability.
That's right. You know, looking ahead, companies like that see potentially large numbers of claims, and that's why they like this fund, because it really does give them some certainty. They will have to pay, of course, but they'll pay less, and furthermore, it will be known in advance how much they have to pay. And one thing that companies and by extension Wall Street likes is certainty. They don't like lots of expenses, but if you're going to have some expenses, the ability to know what they are in advance is crucial. And that's one of the reasons why you've seen, for example, the stock prices jump, because you know, there is certainty. A company that's not involved in this, but I'm sure everybody knows about, Halliburton. Right. Halliburton concluded its own trust back in January before this bill heated up. And they had to put aside about $4.5 billion. And that's a lot of money. However, once they completed the deal, despite the obvious cost, their stock price jumped. And again, it's because Wall Street and investors like certainty.
So the claims that this hurts or that these companies are hurt, that is the claim that is being responded to by this legislation.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the claim is that these bankruptcies leave a cloud over the economy, and you know, jobs are at risk and things of that nature. You know, we don't necessarily take a position on that, but what we do say is that if people have been injured, they ought to be compensated.
And how can people get a copy of this report, Chris?
If people want to see this, they can go to our website, which is citizen.org, www.citizen.org, and they can find it there. If they want to get in touch with their folks in Congress, they can look in the phone book in the front, in the blue pages. The Senate and the House also have their own websites, house.gov, senate.gov. and they can find contact information there.
Because this is not a done deal yet.
No, it's not a done deal yet.
Very good. Chris Schmidt, Research Director for Civil Justice at Public Citizen. Thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
Thank you.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, I will be back after the news. Stay with me.
For power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White. More than a week since Natalie Holloway vanished on Aruba, three men have been arrested in her disappearance. She's 18 from Alabama, last seen on the last night of her senior trip.
These three men will now join the other two men, two security guards who are being held in this case. They are still being held behind bars, and it is unclear what evidence police have against them. Those two men appeared in court on Wednesday, and police did not reveal their hand. In fact, they are allowed by Aruban law to hold these men another 8 days before having to cough up whatever evidence they actually have publicly. So now, as of this morning, five people now under arrest.
ABC's Deborah Roberts. There will be another island-wide search for Natalie today. Her stepdad told us earlier that volunteers who've joined with family members in the search are in a kind of routine.
Tourists call our room, you know, every day at 10 o'clock they have they organize a search party that meets in the Holiday Inn lobby, and it's amazing the people that come there.
Another trip to the hospital for Michael Jackson and a half day for the jury deciding his fate. We're live with ABC's Aaron Katursky in Santa Maria, California.
Liz, his friends say Jackson is now getting constant treatment for back pain, so for the sixth time in a week, the singer went to the hospital. His spiritual advisor, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, confirmed the hospital visit for ABC News hours after Michael Jackson's attorney released a statement saying he had authorized nobody to speak on the singer's behalf. The jurors return here about an hour and a half from now for a day that will be cut short by local graduation ceremonies. Liz.
ABC's Aaron Katursky live. It's the first named storm of the Atlantic season, Tropical Storm Arlene, edging closer to western Cuba. It could edge into the Gulf of Mexico this weekend. That's hail in the Wichita, Kansas area. Flash flood warnings and watches are up. At least a dozen people were forced from their homes. 6 inches of rain fell in as many hours in some places. This is ABC News.
All right. Top three reasons I love summer. Number three, going out to eat means dining on our new deck. Number two, family gatherings are around the new gas grill. And number one, having a totally new backyard without having to get out my wallet.
Don't put off the project. Put off the payments. Visit the Home Depot or Expo Design Center for special deferred financing store-wide through June 12th. Only at Expo and the Home Depot.
Get the good stuff.
With gas costing what it does these days, who wants to spend more for premium gas? Fortunately, you may not have to. Because with Tecron Fuel System Cleaner, you can help clean carbon deposit buildup in your engine, which reduces engine pings and your need for higher octane gas. Plus, a cleaner engine means better mileage. And now at Napa Auto Parts stores, Tecron is just $2.99 after a $3 mail-in rebate.
Get the good stuff.
Napa, get the good stuff.
The Pope held a private audience at the Vatican today with international Jewish leaders. ABC's Linda Albin has the story.
Following in the footsteps of his predecessor, Pope Benedict sought to reassure Jewish leaders, telling them he will continue the dialogue with the Jewish community that was a pillar of John Paul's papacy.
Pope Paul VI, and in particular Pope John Paul II, took significant steps towards improving relations with the Jewish people. It is my intention to continue on this path.
Some Jews had expressed concern at the election of the German Pope. The former Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger had admitted he belonged to the Hitler Youth when he was 14, but he made it clear that at that time in Germany, he had no choice. Linda Alban, ABC News, London.
A San Francisco crook figures why steal from cabbies when you can take the whole cab. Police think it's probably a former Yellow Cab employee with a master key. He swiped 6 cabs in 2 weeks, picking up passengers and keeping the fares. I'm Liz White, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, former Missouri Governor Bob Holden has a new title, Professor. Holden will be a scholar in residence and visiting professor at Webster University beginning this fall. The former governor will teach 3 courses a year at the School of Business and Technology, focusing on the link between government and business. Webster University officials say Holden could have the opportunity to teach in one of the school's overseas campuses. Financial analysts say news of the downgrading of $900 million in debt at Lambert St. Louis International is not a good thing. Kevin Doliel, the airport's director, says the downgrade by Moody's is a result of service cuts. Doliel says he sees the downgrade in debt as mixed news. He says the airport's debt from other sources had already been downgraded, so this is not new territory for the airport. Summertime can be hazardous to your skin. That's why the American Academy of Dermatology advises the public to take precautions against sun exposure. Dr. Patricia Ferris, an assistant professor of dermatology at Tulane University School of Medicine in Louisiana, says you should use a sunscreen with a sun protection factor of at least 15.
We really prefer you use something higher, like a 30 or a 45 if you're outdoors, say, you know, at the beach or playing tennis or something like that. But we like at least an SPF of 15 on a daily basis. And the other thing to look for is a broad-spectrum sunscreen, meaning one that blocks both the ultraviolet A and the ultraviolet B rays.
Ferris also recommends that people avoid indoor tanning. For more summer skin care tips, visit the American Academy of Dermatology's website at www.aad.org. Finally this hour, salt intake might have an effect on exercise-induced asthma. Indiana University Department of Kinesiology researcher Timothy Mickleboro says his research team studied 2 dozen people with both asthma and exercise-induced asthma and had half the group consume a normal amount of salt and half the group consume a low-salt diet. He says people on the higher salt diet showed a dramatic decline in lung function after physical activity, while the low-salt diet participants essentially eliminated their exercise-induced asthma symptoms. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Blue Blocker Sunglasses. Get Blue Blocker Sunglasses at your local Walgreens drugstore. See clearer, farther, and protect your eyes with solid UV protection. Blue Blockers are available at all Walgreens in many new cool styles. Check them out today. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Air National Guard. Westbound 40 at Oakland, there's a report of an accident. Left lane is blocked. Traffic jams near Kings Highway. Northbound 55 at Russell, the off ramp is blocked due to an abandoned vehicle. Southbound 270 at Dorset, no problems to report, and there was no accident that was previously reported found there. Westbound 70 at Goodfellow, there's an accident. Left lane is blocked. Eastbound 40 between Antire and 270, everything's running smoothly. Westbound 270 at, or northbound 270 at 44, no problems to report there as well. Eastbound 40 between Clayton Warson and Laclede Station, look for stop and go traffic due to a westbound accident. The reversible lanes on I-70 are closed for maintenance operations. Southbound 170 from Forest Park Parkway to 40 is slow in the right lane as you approach those on-ramps there. Taking a look at your bridge traffic, westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge, that is starting to ease up now. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois side to Laclede's Landing, everything's running smoothly. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Air National Guard. Men and women of all walks of life are guarding America and defending freedom. These heroes are in the Air National Guard, and they want you to be on their team. Get more information online at goang.com. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Partly sunny skies today. Possible thunderstorms with a high in the mid-90s this evening. Partly cloudy in the evening, becoming mostly cloudy overnight. A 40% chance of showers. The low should be around 74. Friday, pretty much the same. Partly sunny, another chance for showers with a high around 90. Friday evening, still the same. Partly cloudy with a 30% chance of showers with a low around 70. And on Saturday, partly sunny skies. Once again, another chance for showers. The high should be around 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 75 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 75 as well with some clouds. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Healthy Family, presented by the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse, reminding you to talk with your children about the dangers of underage drinking. Learn more at MissouriPrevention.org.
What is the health discount card? Well, according to the Attorney General's Consumer Education Coordinator, Travis Ford, it's not insurance. The cards are legal, but sometimes their advertising leads consumers to believe they're getting more than what's actually delivered. Ford says there are important questions to ask before buying a card.
You need to ask, is my doctor included? If the plan says yes, your doctor's included, you need to check with your doctor and confirm that. See if your doctor can tell you what kind of discounts you can get by participating in this plan.
He says you should also ask what's covered. Are surgery, emergency room visits, prescription drugs covered by the discounts? How big are they? Don't assume that something is covered. And if it says that you will receive up to a certain percentage discount, make sure you know what that means. Ford says the cards can be money savers, but you have to know exactly what you're being promised. Otherwise, you could end up stuck with very expensive medical bills. I'm Julie Anderson with the Healthy Family.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Struggle.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call, Liz Brown. Living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. As you know, we broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. And you can always catch my shows archived daily at the WhiteRoseSociety.org. So if you miss an hour, go get an hour. This morning, we are earlier this morning in the first hour of the show. I mentioned a story that came out of the Associated Press. My story that just makes you shake your head. A story that just makes you say, you know what, Lord, should any of them stay? Story out of the Associated Press headline, Senate gives more FBI more Patriot Act power. Huh? The FBI would get expanded powers to subpoena records without the approval of a judge or a grand jury in terrorism investigations under the Patriot Act revisions approved Tuesday by the Senate, and I use this term loosely, Intelligence Committee. Said one Democrat, this bill must be, oh no, let me go with Jay Rockefeller. Jay Rockefeller supported the bill. He would push for limits that would allow the administrative subpoenas, quote, only if immediacy dictates. So you're going to give that instruction to an administration that preemptively strikes other countries. We're in a lot of trouble. We're in a lot of trouble. We need to talk about the Patriot Act. And to facilitate that conversation, I have Kevin Banks, an attorney. An attorney for the Electronic Frontier Foundation, joining us from San Francisco. Kevin, thank you for getting up so early.
Oh, good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing just fine. How are you, Liz?
I'm outstanding. These are scary times.
Some concerning news coming off of the Hill right now.
Yes. You all got a draft of the Patriot Bill. It's worse than, how could it possibly be worse than what we already have? Or should I even ask the question? Should I even put that out in the air?
Oh, it can always be worse.
That's the fact.
You know, the DOJ has a laundry list of things it'd like to get into upcoming legislation, and we're lucky there weren't more little DOJ presence.
Things like what?
In this bill.
Things like imprisonment based upon your attitude?
Something like that. But yeah, this administrative subpoena power is definitely concerning. And it's not just that, it's also the fact that this bill would renew a bunch of the Patriot Act sections that are set to expire at the end of the year, or quote-unquote sunset. And, you know, our legislators did that because they were concerned that these you know, Patriot provisions would affect civil liberties in a bad way, and so they wanted them to expire after their need for them had expired. But it looks like the Congress, with the pressure from the administration and the Department of Justice, is fairly willing to renew every single one of the provisions that's currently set to expire. And so, for your listeners in St. Louis who are already concerned about the Patriot Act, now is the time to act and let your legislators know that you don't want to see Patriot renewal or expansion. And as far as those listeners who aren't worried, maybe I can change their mind in the next hour.
Well, let's talk about some of the more concerning components of the new Patriot Act powers they're requesting.
Okay. Well, to discuss that, it's worth discussing a few other already existing Patriot powers, because this new one would actually combine some of the worst aspects of some powers that they already have and which should be sufficient for them. First off, you and your listeners may have heard in the past about Section 215 of the Patriot Act. You may have definitely heard about it in terms of library records,
exactly,
because that's one type of record that this power could be used to get that has worried people. And what Section 215 did is it broadened the power of court orders that are issued by something called the FISA Court. This is the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act Court. And this is a special court in that its proceedings are completely secret. It's a small group of judges in Washington, D.C., handpicked by the Chief Justice, who hear argument only from the Department of Justice, and at the Department of Justice's request, issues super-secret wiretap orders and search warrants in foreign intelligence cases. But they can also order something like a subpoena, a court order demanding the handing over of records. And this is a problem because these orders, first off, it's a rubber stamp. The court never turns the DOJ down, as best we can tell. And these orders can be served on any person to get any kind of record so long as the government certifies or basically promises to the court that it thinks those records will be relevant to their investigation. In fact, it's not even that high of a legal standard.
I was going
to
say.
It just has to be, quote-unquote, for a terrorism investigation, and the court has to issue the order. And these orders can be served on anyone for any type of record.
And in terms of the amount, the type of representation by an attorney, does that happen? If you get a subpoena from the secret court, are you allowed to take your attorney with you? Are you allowed? How do you respond to this?
Well, that's an unsettled question because these orders come with gag orders for whoever they're served on. Gag orders that last absolutely forever, which I'd say is pretty unreasonable under the First Amendment. And which brings us to a second and similar power called the National Security Letter. And the reason I'm bringing that up now is because just like the Section 215 orders, those also come with gag orders. And what National Security Letters are, these are like the 215 orders, but they can only get a few types of records, some really sensitive records like logs about your internet communications and your financial records. But they are issued directly by an FBI agent without even the rubber stamp oversight of a super secret court.
So we're talking about an FBI agent that may be an FBI agent that has a file full of unsatisfactory job assessments. We're talking about an FBI agent that could be awful at their job. We could be talking about an FBI agent that went to the good old boys roundup. We could be talking about any FBI agent could exercise this authority.
Well, it would have to be a special agent in charge of the local office, but it wouldn't require prior approval from D.C.
Mm.
And so these national security letters, I bring them up because one court has already found them unconstitutional. A federal district court in New York found that those national security letters violate the Constitution because, one, the gag order violates the First Amendment because it's unreasonable, because it never ends, no matter how the circumstances may change and the need for secrecy might change. But then it violates your Fourth Amendment right against unreasonable searches and seizures, because even though it's just a subpoena asking you to give stuff rather than actually a warrant that authorizes them to come and grab stuff, there's this gag order that says you can't talk to anybody, and there's no clear exception for talking to a lawyer.
Well, what happens?
And even if you could talk to a lawyer, there's no apparent way of challenging the subpoena, just like there's no way of challenging orders from the FISA court. The FISA court doesn't even have a public address that you could send such a motion to.
What would happen if you said no to the subpoena?
They would likely, that's one of the gaps in the law, is that it doesn't have an explicit provision for how they would enforce it. If you said no,
but most human beings.
My expectation is that most would not say no.
Yeah.
If you're a big ISP, even a big internet service provider or phone company, and had weight to throw around with the DOJ and wanted to challenge, could challenge it. There's no incentive for them to do so unless it gets really expensive for them to keep complying. They have no reason to get in a fight with the DOJ about this or risk letting their customers know that they generally comply with these kinds of requests.
Mm.
And if you're a smaller company and you get this crazy letter, from a federal agent saying, this is a national security investigation, we're demanding your internet logs, you can't ever tell anyone about this, they'd usually throw up their hands and hand it over, too. Luckily, in this case, the person who got the letter went to the ACLU, and the ACLU brought a case, and we were lucky enough to be able to participate in that as friends of the court. But even there, the level of secrecy was just insane, because first off, when ACLU wanted to file the suit, they had to file it under seal in secret and then fight with the Department of Justice for 3 weeks about what they could say without getting thrown in jail, which eventually resulted in that they published the complaint but had to redact or black out any reference to any actual NFL. It had to be totally theoretical. So the government didn't just want them not to reveal who received the letter, which is fairly reasonable, but they didn't even want the public to know that a letter had ever been used, that the government was using this power at all.
Well, it begs the question then of, good God, how many of these letters are going out?
And we don't know, and they don't have to tell us. We did get, as a result of a Freedom of Information Act request, a blacked-out list of national security letters that had been used since 9/11 in 2002, and that was a seven-page list of single-line entries. So they are using it aggressively. As far as the Section 215 orders, that's a funny case because the ACLU brought a case challenging that law as well, but without someone who had actually received an order, just challenging it on its face.
Mm-hmm.
And when they brought that case a couple of years ago, the government said, hey, we haven't even used that power yet, probably because they've been using national security letters instead.
Mm.
But, you know, now that we're talking about Patriot renewal, the government can't come to Congress and say, hey, there's this power we've never used, but we still really need it. Please renew it. So they made sure to use it in the interim. And so when they finally reported to Congress during hearings on renewal a few weeks ago, they admitted they'd used Section 215 34 times. But it's the national security letters that they seem to be using a whole lot. But so the amazing thing is that they already have these incredible powers, these Section 215 orders and these national security letters, but they want more. They want these administrative subpoenas, which combine the worst of both worlds, because like Section 215 orders, they can be used to get any type of record, while NFLs could only get certain types of records.
Jesus.
But just like NFLs, there's no oversight from a court. So it's a all-powerful subpoena without any court oversight.
So then we don't need a court at all. We need no judges. They can get whatever they want when they want it.
Exactly. As long as they believe it may be relevant to their case.
So we have moved out from under the terrorism umbrella. They can go and say that we want this record, and it's unrelated to a terrorism investigation?
No, these powers would be limited to foreign intelligence investigations, meaning investigations about spies, foreign spies and terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
They could be used to get records about people who aren't the suspects, though. And in fact, one concern is that they could use a national security letter or a Section 215 order to get an entire database of information to try and find the terrorist, but in the meantime, sweep in the info of plenty of innocent Americans. In fact, they've already done this at least once with national security letters that authorize them to get records from financial institutions. This is a very good story. You may remember during the holidays in 2003, there was a lot of worry in the press, a lot of concern being leaked from the administration about terrorist attacks, and one of the cities they were concerned about was Las Vegas. And so what they did, they have national security letters that they can serve on financial institutions. And earlier that year, the law had been amended to include casinos. So, you know, the whole purpose of this is so you can track money transactions and try and stop the flow of money to terrorists. But what the government did in 2003 is they used those letters to serve on the casinos in Las Vegas for their hotel registries. And with those letters, they got the hotel registries and the names of every person visiting Las Vegas that holiday. 270,000 people, most of whom I can only assume are not terrorists. That's almost one in 1,000 Americans, all affected by this one round of national security letters during an orange alert. God, imagine what they're going to do during a red alert.
And the other piece is what they get to keep.
They get to keep.
So
and they can throw that in some big database, some total information awareness style, monitoring system, and start trying to guess who's a terrorist by what they buy or where they go or the patterns in their travel or whatever.
Let me get to a caller here. Zach, you have a question for our guest.
Yeah, I have a question and a quick comment.
Okay.
My question is I haven't read the Patriot Act, but I have heard that there is a provision in the Patriot Act that allows for the president to amass a force And it doesn't specify the size of the force or even the necessarily the job of this quote-unquote force. I'm wondering if your guest knows anything about that.
I'm afraid I don't recall any provision like that. It's worth noting that...
I was just going to say, I mean, it sounds like the SS clause in the Patriot Act. You know?
Yeah, that certainly sounds concerning, but I'm afraid I'm not familiar with that. It's worth noting that the bill is ginormous. It's huge. It's 342 pages. It affects many, many statutes. And a lot of it is actually pretty innocuous and stuff we wouldn't object to, like more money for FBI translators or more money for the victims of terrorism or things like that. My focus and the focus of my organization, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, are those provisions mostly in Title II of the Act, which deal with electronic surveillance and searches and other powers that could involve records about what you do on the Internet. We're very concerned about your privacy and your ability to speak freely on the Internet. And so I can't speak to your SS clause, but
okay. Well then,
did you have another question?
What I just wanted to say is it's all part and parcel to, you know, the rise of American fascism, and I think it's interesting, you know, with the whole with the deep throat thing recently, and how they reported how the FBI used to be so corrupt, and in days past, and I've noticed that a lot of times in history, you know. When they talk about the papacy, they talk about how the papacy used to be this corrupt institution, but don't worry about it anymore, it's fine now. And when they talk about the FBI, they talk about that too, and they don't want you to remember things like COINTELPRO. They don't want you to remember Ruby Ridge. They don't want you to remember Waco, Texas. And it's part and parcel to it just becoming acceptable. I mean, these people generally get pardons from the president anyway if they're ever even caught doing these things. And it's just part and parcel to it becoming more and more acceptable, and as we watch our rights slip away, we watch American fascism on the rise, and, they tend to do it at such a snail's pace that you don't even notice that it's happening, because, I mean, I would say that it's been happening for the last 40 years.
Thank you, Zach.
If not more.
Thanks for your call. We're going to take a break, folks. We're talking to Kevin Bankston, an attorney for the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Kevin, how can people get to the Electronic Frontier Foundation?
They can go to EFF.org. If they want to learn about Patriot, they can go to EFF.org/Patriot. And if they want to contact their legislator about Patriot, they can go to action.EFF.org.
Very good. We will be back with Kevin just a few minutes from now. I'm Liz Brown. Going to be hard times. They're going to be hard times. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I'll be back at you after this.
Sits on when I'm gone. Don't forget to pray, 'cause there'll be hard times. Hard times. Oh yeah, yeah. Who knows better than I?
Spring rains, summertime heat. They can take a toll on your roof. But not to worry, call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127. Person Roofing now offers a GAF factory warranty up to 10 years on any modified rubber roof, and that includes labor and material. GAF is the largest maker of roofing material in the country and stands behind its product 100%. Finance your new roof with Visa or MasterCard. Free estimates. Call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127.
You don't have to travel to Washington, D.C. to visit the West Wing. Just listen to Herbsteck online at WGNU.net.
ALS is a disease that can paralyze the body, yet the mind remains alert and clear. ALS is a disease that you can help fight, and all you need is your feet. The ALS Association, along with WGNU Radio, invite you to walk with us on Saturday, June 25th at Steinberg Rink in Forest Park. To join the walk, pick up your registration forms at WGNU or register online at www.alsa-stl.org, or you can call 314-534-0610. We'll look forward to seeing you on Saturday, June 25th at the walk to defeat ALS.
Something for bluesmen and women. Enjoy the sounds of summer at the annual State Street Blues Festival, Saturday, June 11th in downtown Jerseyville, Illinois from 5 to 11 p.m. Live music, great food, and fun for the whole family on the streets of Jerseyville. For more information, call 618-639-5888 or go to www.jcba-il.us. News to you from Radio Free St. Louis.
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes, and after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I have the knowledge, and most importantly, the discipline, to make conscious, healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself,
I think we're being a little musically ironic right now. This is Liz Brown. Living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. We are talking about the draft Patriot Bill. I'm talking to Kevin Bankston, an attorney for the Electronic Frontier Foundation. He's joining us from San Francisco. Kevin, welcome back.
Hello again.
So let's keep on talking about the new and improved Patriot Act.
All right. If it's okay, I'd like to address something that the last caller brought up.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about the history of abuse at the FBI and the Department of Justice and how this looks like fascism to him. And there's a few things I want to pull out of that. First, when you say fascism these days, most people will assume you're criticizing the Bush administration, in certain circles at least. And although this bill has very strong support from the administration, it's important to point out that the Department of Justice would probably be pressing for these sorts of things under any administration. You know, it's its own agency, and it fights for things on its own as an institution. And a lot of the things in the Patriot Act are things DOJ has tried to get in the past under different administrations, like the Clinton administration's DOJ. A lot of proposals they made in the past ended up in the Patriot Bill.
But for those of us that raise children, just because you want doesn't mean that you get. And just because you can get it doesn't mean that you should be given it.
Absolutely.
You know?
And it was a terrible, terrible type of opportunism that they used in the fearful days after 9/11, where they knew they could get pretty much anything they wanted passed. And that's why, despite its title, which I'll pull apart in a second, it's a funny acronym, the bill isn't targeted at terrorism, and it contains a lot of powers, a lot of expansions of general law enforcement powers that apply in any criminal case. And so, but as I promised, the acronym USA Patriot Act, that stands for Uniting and Strengthening America by Providing Appropriate Tools Required to Intercept and Obstruct Terrorism. And as that name implies, it was sold as an anti-terrorism measure.
But it's a broad
grant of power.
But the other part of it, Kevin, again, is that they can ask for the elimination of the Constitution if they want to. But a legislator's job is to read the doggone bill and say, are you crazy? No, you're not going to get this.
Mm-hmm.
And our legislators didn't even read this document.
No. Our legislators were laying down on the job this time. They bent to political pressure and possibly their own fear about terrorism.
Or their jobs.
When they passed this. And you're right. Most of our legislators did not read the bill. It's worth pointing out that that's true in many cases and unfortunate. But particularly in a case such as this, where it's a huge grant of new government power that's being passed immediately after a horrible attack that's when you really, really should be reading things very carefully, and they didn't at all.
And it is not. It's, we do have two political parties. It was no secret to. It shouldn't have been any secret to any Democrat that a bill like this is going to be something that favors the other side of the aisle and their issues and their interests, and they still didn't read it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is true. But, you know, the Democrats didn't want to get painted as pro-terrorist or weak on terrorists immediately after the World Trade Towers went down.
So we're talking job concern.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's get back to the Patriot Act and some of the other scary things that are in it.
Okay, well, the Senate Intelligence Committee bill that we're talking about, it added a few powers. The biggest, most important one is the administrative subpoena power. Another thing it would do is expand an already existing power regarding something called mail covers. The Supreme Court, you know, has held that you have a reasonable expectation of privacy in your mail, and so they need a warrant to open your mail. But you have no privacy in what you write on the outside of the mail, meaning your return address and the address that you're sending to.
Really?
And so under the Constitution, if the government wanted the post office to start recording and creating a database of everyone that we mailed to and who mailed to us, they could do that constitutionally. That isn't what's happening right now, as best we can tell, but the government can ask the post office to do mail covers. They can say, hey, post office, we want to monitor the mail of this person and this person and this person. And right now, the Postmaster General has the ability to push back against the DOJ and say, no, I think your request is too broad. I want you to narrow it. You're obviously on a fishing expedition. You know, you need to tailor this investigation a bit more or whatever. You know, it's the Postmaster General that provides the one big check because a judge isn't involved in the process. And what this bill would do, the second power that it would add, in addition to administrative subpoenas, is it would remove the ability of the Postmaster General to object. And the post office would simply have to obey any mail cover order they got from the DOJ.
Oh, my word. Now, there's a union. Isn't there a union of postal workers?
I would assume so.
I mean, so have they weighed in on this?
Not that I'm aware of. The Postmaster General himself has noted it with some disapproval. But I don't know about the union. And so those are the two things the bill adds. The other thing that the bill does, though, is that there are many sections of Patriot which were considered to be particularly worrisome from a civil liberties point of view that are set to expire or sunset at the end of the year. And the Foreign Intelligence Bill, the Senate Intelligence Committee bill, renews all of those sections that are related to their bailiwick, related to intelligence, and that's more than half of them. That would include, for example, Section 215, the one I was talking about earlier, which are the orders from the secret FISA court for records, along with a gag order. Another power that would be renewed is the power under FISA to conduct John Doe roving surveillance. That's an interesting thing. In the regular criminal context, because drug dealers and others can often switch phones, there's been a recent development in the law allowing something called roving wiretaps. Wiretap orders usually specify what the phone line is you're going to tap or what the internet account is you're going to tap. But if the police can show the court that their target is switching communications devices with an intent to prevent them from wiretapping, the court can give them a roving wiretap order, which names the person they're after, but then allows the FBI to determine what phone lines and email he's using and tap those. That's a worrisome power, but it's even broader now in the FISA context after Patriot, because Patriot added John Doe to the roving, meaning when it's a FISA wiretap order, a roving wiretap order, they don't even have to name the target. They only have to describe them. So it's basically, it's a wiretap order, but it's a blank check wiretap order that doesn't specify who they're wiretapping, and it doesn't specify what they're wiretapping. So imagine if you're an ISP or a phone company, and the FBI shows up with this super secret FISA wiretap order, but you can't tell whether it actually authorizes them to wiretap an email address at your service, because they haven't specified the email address, and they can't give you a name. They can only say, yeah, that brown guy who apparently is staying at this address, we think he's using this email address, let us bug it. But,
and you know,
so there's no way to verify whether the person they're tapping is actually the bad guy.
And do we have any idea about how often this has been used?
No, not in the FISA context. The only information that the public gets about the FISA court is we get the number of applications made to the FISA court by the DOJ for surveillance and the number approved. And for the court's near over 20-year history, those numbers have almost always been equal. The court always says yes. And what's really scary is that since 9/11, the number of applications granted by the FISA court outnumbers the number of wiretap orders issued by all other federal and state courts combined in criminal cases.
You have got to be kidding.
There is a complete shadow.
You have got to be kidding.
Shadow seizure regime in Washington that is now bigger than all the other criminal law enforcement combined.
In the United States of America?
In the U.S. of A.
Unbelievable. And do we hear Congress people articulating concerns about this?
No.
Ah!
We really don't.
Ah!
I don't want to say we don't hear any concern. There is some bipartisan support to rein in Patriot in Congress.
But
there are definitely some people in the left wing and several, you know, Democrats who are concerned. My senator, Senator Feinstein, was one of the few who raised objections to this new subpoena power, and who's going to be working to add new protections to it before it can get passed.
But Kevin, don't we have outside of the legislative body a collaboration or a coming together of all kinds of people that wouldn't even stand in the same room together, standing in joint opposition to the Patriot Act?
Yeah, when Bob Barr has a temporary office at the ACLU, you know something weird is going on.
Something weird is going on.
There's definitely some strange bedfellows here, and a lot of people in the right wing, you know, who are concerned about this. Because traditionally, conservatives aren't big fans of a big federal government with, you know, incredible spying powers. That's not usually their thing. And so there are a lot of traditional conservatives who are unhappy with the administration on these issues. But the fear is that the administration, speaking generally, has pretty tight control over what the Senate and the House are doing right now.
And we have to take a break, folks. We're talking to Kevin Bankston, an attorney for the Electronic Frontier Foundation, joining us from San Francisco. We're talking about this so-called Patriot Act. Kevin, when we come back, I want to talk about this scary, scary bill that they tried to pass in your state with RFIDs.
Oh, yes. I'm happy to talk about RFID.
All right, we'll be back. I'm Liz Brown. Wake up call. Stay with us, folks. You don't want to miss this.
Another night in these blues got me down. Oh, misery. I sure could use some company.
With eHarmony, the matching process wasn't something that put any stress on me.
You get to see inside of the person before you see the person.
Imagine a process of finding the love of your life that doesn't require writing a witty paragraph about yourself for the world to see.
It wasn't about trying to be competitive with other people.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com.
Imagine a place where you're matched based on who you really are.
You're not basing it on, you know, am I at the right bar at the right time?
With eHarmony, it felt more like people were truly interested in who I was as a person.
If you're ready for a better way to find your true love, graduate to eHarmony.com. Get your eHarmony personality profile and see for yourself how eHarmony.com can help you find the love of your life.
That term soulmate actually came to mean something.
It was just like absolute magic, like no other experience I've ever had in my life.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Beijing. A Chinese cabinet minister issued a warning this week that the country is growing so fast, water pollution in at least 100 of the country's biggest cities will leave masses without drinkable water. The Minister of Construction says action is needed right away to halt the deterioration of water supplies. China always has had a water problem because it's the largest population on the planet and has the driest regions on the planet. But the demands of industrialization have begun to outstrip natural resources, and water seems to be the most glaring example right now. The latest report says industrial pollution, human waste, and agricultural fertilizers have polluted all 7 of China's major rivers and 25 out of the 27 major lakes in the country. Less than a third of wastewater from Chinese cities winds up getting any treatment. Acid rain is also a problem, as is pollution. 15 of the 20 most air-polluted cities are in China, and smog is so bad in some of them that respiratory illnesses are the leading causes of death. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Hi, everybody. This is Mike Huss. Join me tonight for Sports Talk right after the 6 o'clock news right here on Radio 920. We'll talk about whatever you want pertaining to the world of sports. You pick the topic, and we'll talk about it. You know we'll have our trivia. You know we'll have some fun. That's Sports Talk, 6:05 tonight, right here on Radio 920.
Shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top 6 appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Hi, I'm Charles Gere.
And I'm Laurie Falkerson.
With the best of everything WGNU, Sounding Board, Thursday mornings at 10:05.
We take your comments on whatever's on your mind.
With an informative and entertaining guest every now and then.
It's your opportunity to sound off.
That's why it's called Sounding Board, the best of everything WGNU.
Join me, Laurie Falkerson.
And me, Charles Gere, for Sounding Board, the Thursday morning edition of The Party Line at 10:05.
On Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920. WGNU online at WGNU.net.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm going out of my head. Yes, I think I'm going out of my head. For you.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, and I'm talking to Kevin Bankston, attorney for the Electronic Frontier Foundation, joining us from San Francisco. And Kevin, let's talk about this bill, Senate bill that dealt with RFID tags in California.
Okay, well, I think you might be a little confused because you had said you were worried about the bill. Actually, the bill that's in the California legislature right now.
It didn't pass, right?
Well, no, there is an anti-RFID bill.
Okay.
That is in the California legislature right now that we at EFF and the local ACLU are pushing for, which would forbid the government from putting RFID chips, from using RFID for government purposes. And to back up and explain what RFIDs are and what the problem is, RFIDs are radio frequency ID tags. They're tiny little grain of rice-sized tracking tags, a little chip. And they're not very smart because they'll talk to anyone. The way you talk to them is you have a RFID reader, and from several feet away, or depending on the power of the reader, from many, many feet away, you shoot a radio signal and the chip reflects it back with any of the information that's on the chip. And so sometimes that might be just a unique number that correlates to something in a database, or it could be plenty of personal information. For example, the federal government has been working to have RFIDs installed in our passports so we could more easily get through customs, because we could just wave it over a reader for them to scan it. The problem is, anyone else could scan it too. And although the government had been saying, no, even though it's not encrypted, even though it's not secure, even though anyone can read it, they'd have to be really, really close. So it's not, so it's impractical to imagine someone stealing your identity, or say a terrorist identifying you as an American by scanning your RFID tag in your passport. But
what, it is not physically possible to get close enough to
what they claim. But then at a privacy conference, the Computers Freedom and Privacy Conference this past year in Seattle, we demonstrated on stage that you could read these tags from many, many feet away. And the RFID in your passport would contain all of your personal information, and anyone could suck that up if they built or bought a fairly cheap RFID reader.
So was this coming down the pike? Is that why is that why California passed this legislation, that somebody was attempting to?
Well, they're still considering it. We're trying to get it passed. But a few things happened that made us think that this really was needed immediately, because the government was diving into RFID quickly. First, there was this passport thing, but that's a federal government thing. Right now we're trying to control the California government. And what we'd seen locally in California were two really troubling things. First, we saw a movement at the Berkeley Public Library. The Berkeley Public Library to insert RFID tags into every book, so that their librarians wouldn't get repetitive stress disorder checking the books out. And although I love librarians, they are great battlers for civil liberties in most contexts.
Well, I'm troubled just that Berkeley came up.
I'm not happy with that trade-off.
Well, I'm concerned that Berkeley came up with it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it shows that their intentions are good. They really just want to run a more efficient library. But the threat to their patrons' privacy is astounding. One could easily imagine, for example, and you could imagine this with any RFID tagged thing, not just a book, but say there's a protest, and you can imagine the government could scan the protesters to see what RFID tags they're carrying.
Mm-hmm.
And so they wouldn't know exactly who's there, but they'd know what they were carrying, and then, say, set up a station at the outgoing bus stop or at the airport or whatever, and scan people as they're leaving and grab the ones who are at the protest, for example. Or, it's not just a threat from the government. Other people could use this to track you as well. And so there's the Berkeley example, the library example. An even scarier example, it was a plan to track not items like books, but to track people directly. And that was a plan by a public school here in California, and we're seeing this in other schools around the country, to force children to wear RFID tags so we can be more efficient in taking roll and making sure that kids are getting on and off the bus at the right stop.
My mouth is open. That's why I haven't not said anything. Let me get to a caller or two here. Jean, you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes, I have both. I have heard that thousands of credit cards have been lost in the mail through UPS and FedEx. Now, they will have to forward all shipping information to Homeland Security. So the question is, has these credit cards been lost in the mail on purpose? Thank you.
Thanks for your call and your comment.
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with that. If credit cards are lost in the mail, I'm not aware of any law that would require the financial institution to report that to the Department of Homeland Security. And I have no particular reason to suspect that the government would be involved in stopping people from receiving their credit cards.
But now, do the credit cards have these RFID tags in them?
They will. Mm-hmm. Oh, they will. Or at least that's the plan. I mean, the plan is, from the business point of view, is for RFIDs to be in everything. They'll be in all of the products you buy, at first just so they can better track it in the supply side. But the thing is, those chips, which can be read by anyone, are going to walk out the door with you. And so you're going to have a house filled with stuff that has RFID tags. And so right now you have big companies planning on how to exploit that. So they're imagining stuff like, okay, you have a refrigerator, and it reads the RFID tags on all the food you purchase, so it can remind you when things are going to get stale or automatically send a shopping list to your grocery store, or a washing machine that reads the tags on your clothes to decide how to wash them. And these are all useful things, but when you start talking about having all these different machines that are logging all of the items in your house, and then combine that with the fact that many of those items will be the books that you read and the media that you consume, and will also identify the people that visit you in your house.
The newspapers that you buy.
Yeah, it's really scary. And what's also really scary is business's attitude to this. In a meeting between RFID folk and Procter & Gamble, one executive in the room from a spy that we had in there, Catherine Albrecht, a privacy activist who's very concerned about RFIDs as well as supermarket loyalty cards, an executive said, you know what, I can't wait until we can tell every time one of our customers opens their tube of toothpaste. That will be such valuable information
for
us.
Oh, for God's sake.
That's the future they're envisioning, and we're seeing that future start to come through in government use, and so that's why we're fighting right now in California to prohibit government use of RFID.
Okay, there is no good news. Kevin Bankston, attorney.
It'll be real good news if we get the bill passed.
There you go. Attorney for the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Again, where can people check you out?
EFF.org. And if you check the site tomorrow morning at action.eff.org, we'll have an action alert where you can send to your congressman and say that you oppose Patriot renewal and expansion and that you support the SAFE Act, which is something I didn't get a chance to mention, but that's a Patriot reform bill that's in both the House and Senate right now, and that would add lots of important checks and balances to the current Patriot powers.
Kevin Bankston, thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
It was my pleasure.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stay strong.
Some very sad news for all of you. People who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White. Deliberations resume soon in the Michael Jackson child molestation trial. The stress may be taking its toll.
Before day 5 of deliberations got underway, Michael Jackson returned to the hospital again. He's been treated and released for dehydration and back pain 6 times in the past week. People close to Jackson say he's extremely nervous, waiting for the verdict.